like to call this workshop meeting for February 23rd to order. And let's see what I'm doing here. Okay. If everybody could stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible,
with liberty and justice for all. Can we get a roll call?
Please? President Tatro?
Here.
Vice President Simon?
Here.
Director Grays? Director Pease?
Here.
Director Steele?
Here.
Well, it's good to see Director Pease here.
Well, thank you, Mr. President.
Glad you're back.
I shall be here for quite a while.
Okay, very good.
Wherever hits the road now.
Yeah, you're about vacationed out, I think.
I'm done, yeah.
Okay, we're going to go to item B, and we're going to go to public comment. It means the public can come up and speak on any item that is not on the agenda. And you can speak for 3 minutes, and there'll be no dialogue between the board and the person speaking. So I'll open it up. Director Graves is here. Very good.
Get a roll call already?
Yeah. Yes. Let the record show. Director Graves is here. Okay. And did you have something to say, sir?
No, I'm looking for an agenda.
Oh, it's right back there, sir.
Yeah, you already missed a lot, sir.
Okay, so am I seeing that there's no public comment? Okay, no public comment. We'll close public comment, and we will go to the item C workshop items. And I'd like to turn it over to staff to start it off, please.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board, those in attendance. The first two items we can take care of rather rapidly. The first is the the board calendar for the remainder of 2013. There's one potential conflict, as you can see, and I'm just looking to see what the board's preference or what the preference would be with the meeting scheduled for Wednesday, July the 3rd.
Oh. And the next thing is
that's the only board meeting that has a conflict with any regularly scheduled holidays this year.
I don't have a problem with having a meeting. I don't know if anybody else does.
What day is the 4th?
The 4th is the day before. Tuesday.
Wednesday.
4th is a Wednesday.
Yeah.
The 3rd is a Wednesday. Thursday. The 4th is a Thursday.
Okay, I'm sorry. So what will be the... Oh, so we'll get Thursday off from work, but not Friday. Those of us that are employed.
Oh,
just to clarify,
it's pretty early.
Isn't that typically you guys left? You won't get Friday off. You get
No. We're here.
We're closed on the 4th, but you'd be open on the 5th.
Correct.
So that would be probably what would happen for my schedule too. Mm-hmm. So I'm probably not out of town. Is all I'm saying. Okay. I don't have a preference.
No.
Okay. So there's no conflict.
Happening
as we do.
So there will be a meeting on the 3rd.
There will be a meeting.
Okay.
If somebody misses it, they miss it.
We have a meeting. All right. Next.
The next item is a little bit hard to read. I think Carol put a little bit of a larger handout there for you. This is our budget calendar for the coming fiscal year for 13-14. We're going to work on putting together a two-year operating budget instead of a one-year operating budget, as well as a five-year CIP. So this calendar has a final budget adoption on June the 5th of 2013. That gives us an extra 2 weeks in case we miss that target date. And then it also includes, there's two subcommittee meetings as well, scheduled for April the 16th and April the 30th with the subcommittee of Directors Tetro, President Tetro, and Vice President Simon. So that's the calendar. Like I said, we're looking to do a two-year operating budget this coming year and a five-year CIP. The operating would just it would just be a rollover, be almost a continual roll of the budget, just once you get into it, just a general basic update every year, instead of having to do a reconstitution, if you will, of the budget from year to year. The operating budget pretty much stays relatively the same from year to year, and the capital is, like I said, we'll have a five-year forecast on that. So if you have any questions.
Is this forward-looking then?
Just forward-looking, and I'm not looking for any, I'm just looking for feedback. There's no real action necessary unless you want.
Is it harder to go out to third year, or is it 2 years pretty reasonable for a short term?
For an operating, 2 years is reasonable. 3 years is, from an operating standpoint.
Okay. Seems good to be looking forward, and we'll also have a five-year plan on our handle.
You're going to see the five-year plan today.
Yeah, I think we'll always
need to
look at our five-year.
Well, Chris, even with the two-year, we're still going to review it the next year. I know it's still going to be reviewed in the middle between the 2 years, so it's not going to matter. We can change it.
Yeah, I think that's really good. Smart. So we would start that
next fiscal year.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah. We would start with this workshop today is what kicks off, from staff's perspective, our budget process and our budget season. So we take the information gathered from the board today and drop that into start to drop that into next year's budget. And as we go through the budget review, it'll go to the board on three different occasions. It will be provided to the board just as a transmittal. It'll come back to the board for discussion 2 weeks later, and then come back to the board again for final adoption. In the meantime, there will be two subcommittee meetings with the board subcommittee, as well as numerous meetings between the staff. You okay with that?
Yeah, I think that's a great idea.
Ready?
Yes.
The next item is the kind of meat and potatoes for today. I'm going to be looking for board input, suggestions, comments, direction, if you will, relative to a number of items that staff has identified. The first few slides are just going to go through real quickly. I want to let everybody know, both the board as this is the staff that makes everything happen. Chris Steele was there last night, and many of us, as you know, we were there until about 9:30, 10 o'clock, working across the way there at the community center, getting it ready for this morning's opening. We like to look at ourselves a little bit as the little train that could, if you will. We've taken on a lot of large projects, endeavors, with a very small staff, and I think that we've been fairly successful in that. These are just some of the successes we've had: the bond issue, the AA- rating from Standard & Poor's, the community center acquisition, some of the projects over at Cornell Park, the banners, the new town seal. And the highlighted items in the darker orange are some of the hit lists, if you will, that we completed this year and last year and into this year. The new phone system is one, the capacity fee schedule and study, the new town seal logo, the community center purchase agreement and site acquisition. We got both master plans accepted. Completed a long-term CIP financing at a very competitive rate. We finally got a location for Well 7, resolved a lawsuit with Southwest Water, and we joined the chemical consortium.
Can I ask you a question?
Certainly.
So I'm looking at item number 2 on that page. Or 3? 2. iPad rollout and paperless agendas, and we're all sitting here with 15 or 16 pages of paper. So why wasn't this just downloaded so we could just go through our iPads instead of having this paper?
Because it was finished at about 12:45 this afternoon.
Very good reason. I knew there was a good reason.
And that's why it wasn't highlighted, because I don't want to bring attention to it. Director Graves.
Well,
generally speaking, that iPad rollout and paperless agendas has been working very seamlessly.
I agree. Very much so, and that's why I asked.
Yeah, so, apologize for that.
No problem. No apology needed. I just was tripped.
We've looked at a number of items that are coming to, that are going to be coming up over the course of the next year and beyond, and these are just, some of them impact us directly, some of them impact us indirectly. The first is obviously the biggest one we've been working on lately, which is continuing to develop the community center and its future programming and what our next steps are going to become. The renewal of the NPDES permit in November and potential for new water quality regulations. That's going to be a huge item. That's going to be, I believe, November, Virgil, is when our permit is to be renewed. 6 months before, we have to have it to the state in a draft form.
Your permit expires at the end of November
of
this year. 6 months in advance, you must submit everything. So by the end of May, we have to submit all the data, the application, to renew the permit.
What's the length of the permit?
It's 5 years.
5 years.
Yeah. 5 years, unless you make a major modification to your wastewater plant, then it opens your permit again.
We recently, last year, we had to have a permit modification that we went through the process on a much smaller scale. Unfortunately, moving forward, it's another five-year permit, or fortunately, but that just means a lot. It's going to be consulting fees and that sort of things to go through the permit process. So we'll be bringing that back to a future board meeting for you for consideration.
In this application for the permit, I'm assuming, but I don't know, the modifications and updates and all the things that are going to take place, water, wastewater, that's all encompassing. So if they're seeing what we're going to be coming in the future, they're permitting that up in the beginning.
Correct.
Okay.
The only... There's a caveat to that. It could trigger more requirements for us. Is that what you're going to refer to?
Well, actually, the permit is not on the water side. It's only on the wastewater side.
All right.
And so, but then, if you do an upgrade to your facility to handle more growth, then that more than likely will trigger more constraints against you or requirements. They'll make it tighter, per se. If you're just building things for redundancy, they won't do anything about that. That's just for you to help process your wastewater better. And so the upgrades that we are doing up down the road here generally are more of a not growth inducing. It's not to
maintenance and process.
That is correct. Yeah.
The fear, though, is that they look at it as potentially growth-inducing, and if they do, that we could trigger tertiary treatment, which is something that we would prefer to avoid at this cost. It's a fairly costly process. We are looking at the last item on the left-hand column, probably going to be coming back to you for some staffing changes or to address some staffing needs long-term. Both of them in Parks, Landscape, Recreation Program, and then the one limited term, we will do some more evaluation on that. That will more than likely be a limited term position for the duration of the capital projects that are going to be constructed down at the wastewater plant to assist in the accounting function of that and the record keeping and that sort of thing. Right now we just have one AP person, and we believe that we may need one and a half or two, and that would just be a limited term type person. Once the jobs are over, the person would go away, or the position would go away. Staying on that same thought, the ongoing progress of the capital projects, water diversion issues, a number of us attended the meeting last week regarding that subject with the twin tunnels, and this is one of those items that doesn't impact us directly, but it certainly does indirectly. And any new development projects and their potential impacts to Discovery Bay. So moving forward, the board and staff, I think, have worked very well in the last couple of years to achieve a lot of goals that have been, that we've been successful with. But many of those continue on. And we're looking for board direction, input, suggestions, recommendations as to the future budgetary cycle and long-term planning. The next slide, the next two slides, and again in no particular order, we completed a two-year rate study 2 years ago. It expires at the end of this fiscal year, which is June the 30th. We will need to embark on a new rate study of some duration. I'm proposing a four-year rate study. Bartles and Wells would be the vendor that we would use. They're the vendor we used on the capacity fee study. This is their one of their strong suits. They're very well qualified. They do it for many, many public agencies up and down the state. That's something I think we're going to need to discuss a little bit more today. The vehicle and equipment storage facility, aka, I won't go there.
Memorial Parkway.
You know, as a public water agency, we need to do more in the job of encouraging water conservation. We're making sure that we're going to continue to make significant progress on completing the capital infrastructure program. One of the things I've been talking to Gregory Harris about is at the end of the projects, when they're all done, if there's any leftover revenues, if we have any leftover funds, that we can reinvest those into some cost savings and possibly doing some solar alternatives or some solar cell projects. Iron House just recently completed a large project over there, and I've already spoken to their GM, and Rich and I are going to take a run over there and take a look at it in the next few weeks. So that's something that I just wanted to kind of throw out there. It's nothing we're planning on right now, but it's something that if at the end there's leftover bond funds that we could reinvest it back in that. We want to continue to do use the website and improve it as much as we can to the best of our abilities. And we want to renew the five-year, or we need to renew the five-year MPDES permit. Changing the page. And this is more than parks, landscape, and recreation side of the house. We anticipate having park transfer agreements to this board in this spring. And that would result in the transfer of ownership from the county to the town of Discovery Bay, Slyford and Regatta Parks, which are currently not owned by us, but owned by the county. A big item on this is to work with the Community Center Committee and the Board of Directors towards community center determinations, implementation of rec programs and related activities. The landscape contract for the east side of town is going out to bid next month. We'll more than likely have a new landscape contractor in this side of town. If you recall, we were originally going to do the Highway 4 East, and that is east of Discovery Bay Boulevard Landscape Improvement Project this fiscal year, but Caltrans came in and did their job, and so it pushed us back a year, and therefore we moved up the Clipper Job Project. So we would be going back to Highway 4. I want to talk about that a little bit more today. All of our parks are going to need parking lot ceiling, including parking lots in the parks, including the park and ride lot, as well as the walking path between Newport and Safeway. There's a streetscape project planned for Zone 61. It's over off of Timber Point and Newport, in that vicinity. Cornell Park Pickleball Court determination, what's going to happen there. Possible relocation of the Cornell Park splash pad that's budgeted for next fiscal year. We're continuing Earth Day planning for this year over at the community center site, and we're looking for board direction on whether or not the board wants to move forward on a parks and landscape master plan, and if so, what you want included in that master plan. Mm-hmm. So next is, I'm going to be looking to you guys to see what we've missed, if there's stuff in there, items in there that you don't want us to focus on, if there's items you do want us to focus on. Like I said, this is our opportunity for the, to get our budget season started, so we're looking to you.
Well, I would like to, at this point,
we've got a couple of big things going on, and community center being one of them. And I don't think we've covered a lot of it, and we have a director who's been not here. So if you could kind of recap where we're at on the community center and where we're going, and how we're about financing that and that kind of stuff.
I can do that, and I'm sure that Chairman of the Community Center Committee, Graves, might want to weigh in on this as well.
Certainly.
The board back on February the 6th, took an action based upon a recommendation of the Community Center Committee to continue to operate the what was before known as the Athletic Club in its current configuration through June the 30th. They approved a budget that would get us through that time frame that include operating and some capital improvement expenses. The Community Center Committee is working towards, in fact, there's another meeting Monday evening they're working towards. They're getting into the weeds, getting into some of the determinations as to what they would recommend coming back to the board at a future date in terms of what how they might envision the facility to work and operate in an overall community function from a community center standpoint, and maybe the members of the committee, Director Steele also might have some comments or suggestions on that. But since then, one other thing is we've been working very hard. We reopened reopened this morning after a two-day shutdown. Parking lots being worked on, the interior, Virgil still has paint on his hands. Chris Steele, his arms are sore. He was helping us hang ceiling fans last night, and we got a lot done in the last 48 hours, and it's this morning when I was in there at 7 a.m. The people that were coming in were very happy with the improvements that they've seen, and they're looking forward to more to come.
Looks like that parking lot was full this morning.
Parking lot, we heard this morning that the parking lot, that there were more people, Director Simon walked in there with me after, just before this meeting, and I'm not sure if you heard the front desk staff person say that this is the busiest it's been on a Saturday morning in a long, long, long time. Mm-hmm. So there are people, they were looking forward to it, they're coming back, and hopefully they'll continue to come back.
Anybody have any questions?
Well, I'm just absorbing right now.
I'll just add a couple of things to that. And then if I miss something, I'll invite Director Steele, who's also on the committee, to add any comments to it. But I just would say that for the benefit of those that haven't been in any other meetings recently, and for our director, just to help all of you, the committee made the decision to continue to operate as is, status quo, simply for the reason that we didn't have any opportunity to really evaluate any other options. Mm-hmm. It's a bit costly, and we understood that, and we decided that was a direction we wanted to go, because it could be a good source of revenue for us. We don't know at this point if that's true, if that's going to go forward after the next 3 months or not, but we didn't want to, we knew that it wouldn't be if we closed it down and tried to open it up a couple months later or something like that. We knew that we would lose the clientele, and so that was why we made that recommendation. It's good to know that things are positive and things are looking up. We do know that there's going to be a minimum number of users that we're going to need using the facility and paying their user fees in order to make it viable to continue to operate it as an athletic club. We don't know whether that's going to happen or not at this point. I have a question. I got into town about 12 minutes before the meeting started today. Is there a noticeable difference in the appearance of the building at this point? Will people be impressed with the little bit that we did? Go ahead, Chris. You've been over there.
Yeah. I would just... Everything's getting polished, and we've cleaned a lot of debris. Has been cleaned out. The staff and the contractors have been in there and thinning out the weeds. Obviously, the curb appeal has changed. Definitely, there's no longer ponds in the driveways. Dust and dirt or debris has been collected. The staff's done an incredible job of getting things painted, floors cleaned, bathrooms, spick and span, things tightened up, and I think it's definitely, I was noticing on the paint last night, the old paint and the new paint, it was just refreshing, and everything's lit up there, all the lights are working inside now, and it's refreshing to go in there and the equipment's been polished and tightened up, and I think those are good things as far as new people have never been in there. I haven't really ever been in there until the last few months, but I could say it's night and day. Running into people, let's say at Safeway or at the water meeting, we're positive and saying, wow, it's exciting. My friends are talking about it. We're looking forward to having more activities there. I've had a lot of people come up to me and say they'd be interested in volunteering and maybe some senior recreation or some youth recreation, or how can I get involved? So I haven't had anybody tell me that it's a terrible thing at all. And I would, some talking to some of the trainers or people that are pretty much, they're going to come there no matter what. They're like, wow, it's night and day. The people seem like they're, the staff there's upbeat and they're excited about what the future may hold. So,
and then moving forward, the committee fully intends to continue to be aggressive in our meeting schedules. I think Chris and I, in total meetings this month, around 9 or 10, so we've been very active this month with all the things that are going on. And we would like, the committee's goal is to make a decision or to make an evaluation by the end of April with regards to, is that what we're talking about? By the end of April, so that we can make sure that we're in time for the budget considerations. And we're bringing in some consultants to give us a hand with that. And then between now and then also, we're gonna start working on the growing the robustness of the club from with regards to community involvement, whether it be getting a farmer's market going there on a Saturday morning, starting to talk to vendors about what they want to do during the summer. Now, we have 7 acres there. We have a lot of land that we can do a lot of things for the community on, and we're not just going to focus on that building. That's not just what our objectives are. So we have a good committee. We've had good participation from the public. And we really want to focus. One of the reasons that we went ahead and left the status quo so we could focus on programs moving forward and put together a good plan, so when we brought it back to the board, it would make sense. And I don't have anything else. Do you have anything else you want to add to that?
I would. The last thing I would add is regarding the people, the folks that are using it right now. We've heard that there's been a big drop off in membership, and they've gone to different facilities in other communities. Mm-hmm. The people that have stayed, they stayed for a reason, and we weren't going to lose them until we shut the doors, or if we were to shut the doors. So they were going to be here. So now we can only go, in our minds, up from there. So I think Bob Lyman's in the back. I think he would probably agree with that statement. Yep. He was out there this morning about 7:30 as well. So
it's here, so it's, you have that certain group of people that participate because it's right here. And improving it, just going to make it better. I don't know where it's all going to go, but.
Mm-hmm. Any other comments from the audience?
I do.
Okay, go ahead.
I walked through that building today with Rick, and we've had a long discussion about the building. And my biggest concern is what it's going to actually take to run that building. Mm-hmm. And I will bet anybody sitting here today that we're going to come in way, way over budget when this is done for the work we're doing so far right now, because we aren't even touching on what that building needs. If we're going to run the building, I have no objection to that. I think it's great. But I think we need to go into like grown-ups with our eyes open and take a contractor in there and start at one end of that building and decide what we can live with, what we cannot live with, and what it's going to cost. One of the issues that I talked to Rick about is the pool. The pool's illegal. I got this right from the Adams Pool Company. The Band-Aid we're putting on that pool is not replacing the heater. The heater's out. There's issues. We walked on, the siding is coming off the front of the building. We can leave the building with no siding on the front of it. We can patch it. We can do what we want to do. You walk inside where the bathrooms are, the bottom of the walls are all rotting out inside. We can leave it there, but it's a decision we need to make. And I think we need to go through this building and say, what does it actually take if we're going to go the next 3 years or 4 years and operate it as a fitness club? What are we going to spend? Mm-hmm. And then we can say, hey, we're going to spend $400,000. We're going to spend $200,000. We're going to spend $180,000. All in favor, say aye. And that's what it's going to boil down to. What I don't want to see happen in this, and I see this coming, is that this is going to be a monthly expense. We're going to, every month or 2 months, we're going to get, guess what? Now we got to fix this. It's $20,000 more. It's $10,000 more. And I don't want to see that happen. And I see that's the road we're going to be going down.
I don't know where you see that, but
I see it in the fact that I walked. Well, I walked in the back of the building, and I looked at the roof, and I'm watching the grass growing through the roof in the back, which tells me there's moisture and water in the roof of the back, over the back doors. Are we planning on fixing that?
We're assessing the condition of the property, and we've had contractors walk the property, and we're still part of this interim period is to gather that information and give the board a clear picture of what it's going to take the next step, making that place safe, making it functional. Like Kevin said, it's not all about just that little building, but it needs to be safe, and it needs to be able to support the different activities inside and out. And so we're gathering all that, and it's definitely not our, in a perfect world, we want to have zero impact on the existing. We don't have a budget, right now. So
I want to just say I apologize for being a little sensitive to that, Director Simon. I didn't mean to approach it that direction, but we've had so little time.
I know.
And so I appreciate your input. I really think that is what our goal is. I really do feel that we want, that's part of our assessment. Is it worth the investment? And if we're going to have to reconfigure the whole place and close it down because there's walls that we have to replace, exterior, interior walls we have to replace, and then we have to shut it down anyway, well, at that point, what's going to open back up? Is it going to be an athletic, an activity club component that's as large as it is today? Is it going to be more of a meeting room environment with a athletic club component? These are all the things we need to evaluate in the next, and we're going to be extremely under a lot of pressure and a lot of, it's going to be a tough couple months for the committee to be able to answer and address those considerations that you have. So
That's what I meant, because my point is, before we just spent, what did we spend, 148 grand or 184, whatever we just budgeted for this, and I would hate to spend that money, and then in 90 days, I mean, hey, guess what? It's going to take another 400 grand to keep the building open, or whatever.
Or what? So then, what is the use of that building going to be? If we're going to put 400 grand into it, what are we going to do with it?
My point exactly. Would we have been better off closing it in the first place, or leaving and spending 180 grand or 170 grand and then tearing it down? That's my point.
I'm with you 100%. I appreciate
that's
that.
That's the only point I'm trying to make. I just don't want to surprise you.
I get it. I get that.
I'd like to chime in a little bit here. I think, first of all, I want to commend the community participants and the directors that are on this committee. And I understand that the committee system has been in place for quite a while. We've got a couple of guys on budget, a couple of guys on landscapes. Now we've got this committee system going. Waste and water, et cetera. From my standpoint, those are pretty well can be done on a committee basis. So either the pump needs to be repaired or it doesn't, well or whatever, and that information can be gathered and brought back to the board, minor discussions and either go or no go, whatever. This community center is the largest and is going to have the biggest impact in our entire town. And I'm a little uncomfortable as an elected official sitting here. Not saying that you wouldn't ask all the right questions. That's not the point. But just as we just started, Mark just brought this up. He's got concerns. I've got same thing, budgetary concerns. I would certainly like to discuss the opportunity of taking this committee and doing it in a little different fashion, and that is incorporating the entire board. And when we have meetings, do it in a study session process. In other words, all five of us get to ask the questions. We all get to sit, similar to what we're doing today, we all get to sit around and say, what about this, what about that? If we go through that process, when it does come time to take a vote, we're all pretty much up to speed. There's no second guessing, did this get discussed, did that get discussed? And it, from my standpoint as an elected official, I will feel much more comfortable in that type of a participation on this big project. One question I have, we did a community survey as far as how could we use this, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes.
What was the number one item?
Cooking.
But we're not docking cooking. Well, and we don't have a kitchen.
Not this building. Okay.
Exactly. But we went ahead and spent $140,000 or $150,000 to keep the thing going until we kind of make our decision. I'm not trying to back up. I'm not trying to say that wasn't a good decision. I wasn't here. I may have voted for it. But the list of vendors that we went out for our RFP, how many did we send out and who did they get sent out to? Okay, I didn't get any of that information, and I was out of town. That's fine, but I don't have any of it.
Well, we'll all discuss at the last board meeting.
Well, that may be, and that's fine.
And it's on, and actually, you can go and listen to the board meetings on the on our website, and you'll get that information.
I'm not talking about the past. I'm talking about the future, and I'm just bringing things up now that I would like to at least have the board today, because this is what this meeting is all about. What would we, as a board, like to see in the future, goals, how we'd like to participate, work together, all those kinds of things. But I feel very strongly that because this is such a major project and the expense and the commitment, we're going to be committing future board members to the decisions that are going to be made in the next year. And I'm not comfortable sitting here and saying, okay, we've got a half hour to talk about all this work that at this point you fellas have done and the other committee members have done. There's just too many questions. It's too big. There's too much stuff going on. And I would like to ask the board to consider just changing the committee process into a study session where we can all sit down and discuss these items, all bring our input to the table. I think five different ideas as we evolve this will be, I think, beneficial for all of us so that everyone has a chance to take a look at it. Staff can then hear some things, go back and do their due diligence, bring back information to us. You just mentioned that, well, we're going to hire consultants to help. Okay, I think that's a good idea. But we don't get to be in, do we get to be in the room and talk about those as a board? No. The current process, no.
The board decided that a committee would be the best thing to establish, and so that's why we've been working in this mode. I'm not sure about the Brown Act and all these technical things, but more input, feedback is always helpful.
Brown Act violation when you have a study
session. Just for clarification, Director Peace, so then what you're suggesting is that the current committee be abolished and that the board meet three or four times a month to include this and through the end of when?
Whatever it takes. That's how big and important this is. I'm not saying that you can't.
Because it's already a board of five, so there's already five ideas coming in.
Plus everybody.
Whenever we meet, the committee is a board of five. So when you mentioned the fact that you think that there could be greater ideas.
Well, no, what I'm saying is that as we, elected officials, who are going to have to say, yes, we're voting to spend this money, I'd like to be at the table because it's such a large project and it impacts the community.
I think a great thing that the committee can do is to have really clear reporting into the every 2 weeks. Meeting.
Well, the reporting is one thing, but it's the input.
When a report comes out, you can comment.
Well, but for clarity purposes, staff, I believe the board members can come to the meeting and participate and give input from the podium just like anybody else in the community, right?
Okay.
So input's not really, you're not being banned from any input.
You guys are meeting independently.
Are with staff. Monday night with
we're going to probably be meeting three times a month for that.
Well, whatever. But you will be meeting independently, you two, I'm not saying it's wrong, with staff, mm-hmm. not the other three community
not
members.
Not very often.
Well, whatever. Whatever that is.
Well,
but you're getting input. Staff is going to be filling you in on things that was discussed. They went out and did their work, etc.
Okay.
What I'm trying to say is that all five of us, because this is such an important project, should be in the room at the same time. And there's a process to do that. It doesn't violate the Brown Act at all.
Well, we could have a study session every week then. I don't make any difference. Well, the meeting's happening.
I'm done.
If I may, I understand what Director Pease is getting at. The Community Center Committee, as this board knows, the subcommittee structure that was established, whether it happened by accident or happened on purpose, is what we operate under right now. The board has then taken subjects in the past that they have felt that have required additional input and have taken that subcommittee structure and expanded it to a full-blown committee, generally made up of those two subcommittee members as well as three members of the community. And that is to provide community feedback and to get input from the community that, as an elected official, you might not normally get. They might be talking to people that you're not talking to and that sort of thing. And so I see the benefit of that from my perspective. But the study sessions, that is, if you're suggesting to eliminate the committee, that's certainly a board discretionary call. I mean, that's absolutely your call, and it's absolutely your call as whether or not you want to have a study session. And it could be on a variety of issues. It doesn't have to be this issue, but you generally have a study session that is specifically for one issue at a time. And so if you wanted to do that, though, I think the two kind of stand alone versus stand shoulder to shoulder, if that makes sense. I'm just giving, just from, you know, past experiences and how I've seen situations like this in the past operated, there's a committee, and then the elected body, legislative body, would then decide that they wanted to have the committee get into the weeds and get into the details and become involved in the project, and then bring those recommendations back to the board, and the board has confidence that the committee's done their work. I think that's what you have going in place right now. But from the study session standpoint, there's nothing to say you can or can't do it. That's certainly your call.
This is basically how we've done it in the past.
Correct.
We had a community center. Although before, in the past, we had more than two directors at one time. We had as many as three or four directors on that committee in the history of in prior times.
Prior to
meeting. Yeah, exactly. Yes, sir.
Just on the Bronnet thing.
Can you come up to the podium because it's being taped? Thank you.
Dwayne Steele. On the Brown Act thing, as a planning commissioner, I know that we have to be extremely careful. And in a committee of two, discussions between the two can happen all the time. What I'm questioning is if we broke this down and it became all five on the committee, you end up having, every time you start talking, if three of you are talking about the project and not talking at it in public, I think that there's a problem with the Brown Act there. That's part of the safety of having two of the five, is you never end up having a quorum that's anywhere having a meeting and a discussion. So that would be the only question that...
It would be done as a workshop like this is, where you'd have five people sitting.
Open. I'm just worried about if you guys are out in the field and talking and you're talking about the project, the two of these two gentlemen can do all of that work by themselves and it doesn't constitute a meeting. As soon as three people are involved or you're sending emails between each other, you know, we've got that issue that we have to be careful with. Right now, when you come back and report, we don't have that issue. We have it.
In this case, this is a Brown Act meeting.
This is
the one that our subcommittee. Yeah. That is a Brown. That is a attendized meeting.
The community center committee is a Brown Act meeting.
Correct.
The subcommittee, if the two of them,
the
meet
two of
with
them
staff,
met, that's,
not,
that's a different issue. Yeah.
That's different. But the committee
is
itself
an actual,
is a
Brown
Act
committee.
I understand that, but what I'm saying is, if you get more than two, then you're limited to just doing the work and just having the conversations here and not having emails and not being able to function without possibly being questioned.
That goes with everything we do.
You can't do it anyway.
You could say that for any subject that we work
it's,
on.
It's a valid point.
Okay,
but that's all. We appreciate it. It's a valid point. It's a valid concern. We appreciate that. But I was thinking the same thing that Ray said, or that what Bill's probably thinking, and that is that when we do our wastewater meetings, we have the same, Ray and I go to a meeting together and we have that same issue that we have to always be aware of. Ray and I can't discuss it, and then I can't call Chris up and say, hey, you know, Ray and I were talking about, we address those. We're pretty well trained in those concerns here within the group, but it is a valid concern. Absolutely. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
The only other comment I'd like to make is that I feel that setting up a mandate that nothing be, just no decisions be made with regards to the community center without it being done before the whole board, we're never getting anything done. Staff can come to Chris and I and say, hey, I got this quote that came in, here's the three quotes, boom, 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 we need to move, it's in the budget. It's not a good example, because if it's over a certain amount, the board would have to vote on anyway.
But it's under a certain amount.
But then he can't do anything because he has to wait for the next meeting of the board to be able to progress on just minor things. A locksmith, I mean, who knows what kind of decision. The county.
No. I'm not talking about trying to stifling or slowing down that process.
Well,
at
how
all.
Wouldn't that do that, though?
What I'm talking about is the big picture. Just like I asked, okay, what was the number one issue? Okay, it was cooking classes. And your answer was, well, we're not going to do that in this building.
Well, okay. Did you look at what the conditions of the...
Well, I've been in a building. The building could cost $200,000 to fix it.
The conditions of the survey were. Mm-hmm. The conditions of the survey is, if you had anything you wanted in the building, what would the number one thing be? Well, we don't have that building yet.
I think it's a bigger.
I'm looking at big.
It's okay. We
bigger.
Have a. So I've got a grand. I've got the biggest view. I got a 100,000-foot view of this thing right now, in a vision that's probably more outrageous than what we've ever talked about. But it's really the whole idea of a community center. It's really a hub and spoke. Whether it happens on the property or happens somewhere in the community, we're trying to get a place where we can all come together and organize activities and the vision of recreation, socialization. A place to hold the activities, and it really comes down to a hub and spoke of this whole thing. And I think that the existing facility is limited to what is done in the past, and it definitely doesn't take care of the top 100 items on that survey, or it doesn't take care of every 100% of what everybody's needs are in the community. But we're going to try in those 7 acres and through the technology to be able to create this hub and spoke so that we can activate areas, maybe some of our park areas, maybe some of the marina area, maybe there's going to be activities out there, your input is very important, everybody's input here, and I think that helped creating that vision and bringing, I haven't heard what you would like for a community, what is your vision of a community center, and so Bill, I'd like to know that too.
The biggest concern I have right now is committing ourselves and a future board to an operating budget and getting ourselves in a financial situation that somewhere down the road it implodes.
Okay.
Well, that's the biggest issue I have.
The community doesn't have the authority to make that decision.
I know the community committee doesn't have that ability, but until you do some sort of a financial forecast, a pro forma, how many people would sign up for this? How many people would sign up for that? What could be the cost of all of that type of stuff? That needs to be discussed. Let's just assume for a moment we just spent 180. Okay, now we come back 120 days from now, just like Mark said, hey, we got to tear off half the brook because there's stuff growing in there. We're gonna spend another $150,000 to fix that, et cetera, et cetera. We need to sit around the table with staff's input, and if we need a consultant to help us, professional construction company, whatever, we need to spend more time doing that before we get to the point of whether we're going to offer sewing or basket weaving or all those kinds of things.
We're going to provide you a fiscal plan for operating based on the existing configuration and based on future. We've done some research on some programming that would work there in the near future, and we're going to put together with the consultant and with numbers we've gathered for the past 2 years and how buildings operate. And we're going to come back to you in the next end of April with a plan on what it would take to run this thing next year.
Right.
And then there's going to be a next level or after there, another phase down the road. We may come up that there's going to be another structure on the property, or that something needs to be moved, or the building needs to be demoed because of this issue. And we're going to give you some ideas on how that would be approached.
So what's the disadvantage of having all three of us, the additional three of us, somewhere along these lines, being able to sit down and not be in a formal session like this, sit around the table and do a little more brainstorming.
Well, I can't do an informal session. What do you mean by it? I'm confused.
Let's take the tables and put them out here. This is a very structured situation in my viewpoint. have staff sit here under a Brown Act authorized meeting instead of sitting back, and you guys have done all this good work and now bringing it to us, you present it to us, and now within 30 minutes we're supposed to make it a $100,000 decision on whatever it was that you're suggesting we do. I'm not comfortable doing it that way.
I don't think that 30 minutes would be justified. I think that what's really important is that if we can report out to you on a regular basis, which is we meet every 2 weeks with the staff or with the town, that maybe we can provide, hey, here's something for review. This is what we've gathered right now. You know, here's the cost of the roof. Here's the cost of the, you know, these pieces. And, you know, here's what electrical is going to cost or whatever the detail is. But you're not going to have to make a decision on it. It's FYI. And you, during this our standard board meeting, you can provide feedback or comments, say, hey, you guys, you know, you're on the right path here, or this is a, you know, this doesn't make sense.
Well, what I'm trying to do is eliminate an adversarial situation.
Oh, yeah.
And the reason is you guys have done, you do a lot of work, whatever, and you bring it to us, and I or Ray or Mark might look at something and whatever and say, hey, you know, I'm not comfortable with that. And we start asking questions. And now you're going to get a little defensive because you put a lot of time and effort into it. Whereas if we're brought along the same time frame, we get to ask these things in a very casual meeting atmosphere. It, when it comes time for a vote or it comes time to make an official decision about something, we're all on the same page. Either we agree or we disagree, but so there's no big issue on it.
Let me see if I can't. Okay, I'm not ready to abolish the current committee structure.
And I'm not saying to do that either.
Okay. But I am saying I'm willing to have some workshops or studies, whatever you want to call them, periodically to go over this. And what I would also like to see is that in our monthly meetings, I'd like to see a report on budget on how much money we spend on Athletic Club.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Exactly.
What's coming in, how close it's coming to what we gave you guys as an estimate. Absolutely.
Yeah. I'd like to see that, which I think would give us a feel for it, and then let's try to come up with it. How often we want to have these sessions?
I think we're meeting every
week. We can do both.
The committee's meeting every week, so I would encourage you guys and your friends and family to come to the community center committee meeting and input and see what we're working with.
Yeah, Chris, that's a separate thing. Okay. That's fine.
I get that.
You got it. But what we were talking where we have five people that all can participate. Now I have two guys up here that can participate and three guys that are out in the audience that can make input but really aren't part of the process. So we can have both. So I think we can have some study meet sessions where we go over what we've done and talk about what we've done. And if we have input on what maybe we like to see done, I think we can do both.
Then I would suggest that with the committee meeting on Monday, that we schedule the following meeting, a study session.
I think what's the point of having the committee? Because you're now asking us to come to two more. Now you're asking, how many meetings do you want me to come to a month? You want to put more meetings in the month because you don't think that we are capable of making decisions and bringing good recommendations back to the board. That's really what this is about.
This is just involved and I'm not.
That's what it is.
Well, it's not. You're not saying this could be every month.
Well,
let me explain it this way, with all due respect.
Sure.
I'm elected by this community to make decisions on a financial basis. I'm not saying anything about your ability to make a decision or not make a decision or to do the homework or do all that. Nothing. But I might have a question or I might come at it from a different angle that you hadn't thought about. And in that case, I haven't been able to do that.
We don't make financial decisions. That's where I'm confused, Bill.
Well,
we don't make
every decision you're making, whether to go in there and clean it out.
We just make recommendations. We don't make decisions. We're not allowed to do that.
It's all the same. You're going to bring us a recommendation to fix this or do that or plan this or whatever, and that revolves around this board making a decision to expend the money to do it.
Okay. We're going to move off of this.
Well, that's fine. I just want to want to bring it up. I think that your recommendation, Ray, about having a combination of things, it works for me. I just want to be at the table in order to be able to have some input prior to the boat getting to the dock.
So before April, we'll have a couple of study sessions.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't see a...
That's fine. Okay.
Problem with that. I'm trying to, you know, just make your hair and I don't want to abolish the committee. I think the committee's doing a great job.
She does so much work.
We can convert the committee and you guys can come down here with us every Monday if that's what you want to do. I mean,
that's not what I want to do.
Well, that's what I'm hearing.
No, it's not.
I don't have any problem in doing that. Time you take the time whatever the time needs to be. But what I'm saying is that this is such an important project that all the board members need to be involved a little bit differently than in the past, where we have the waste and water, we have the finance, because this is a big different project.
This is a couple million, and we do it on the wastewater about 14 million. So I mean, it's not any bigger than anything else we deal with.
Don't give me that. What you're talking about, wastewater, that has to. You've got pumps, you've got valves. It broke. You got to fix it, or you got to plant it. This is totally different.
Well, let's make one suggestion. I think it's a good idea to be a different format. I think that the committee probably needs two or three more meetings to at least put something a little framework. Sure. I think we've got a skeleton of what we're working with. I need to have a skeleton that you guys can look at. And I would say maybe something realistic would probably be something in the next 4 to 6 weeks. We could have instead of a committee meeting, we'll have the session, and I'll make sure those committee members are here.
And you can't attend. Yeah, you can't attend the money meeting.
And I plan to do that.
Yeah, that'd be great. You know,
that's not a problem.
All right. So that was. Are there any other suggestions or recommendations?
Yeah, I think so. Another thing that's missing from this plan is continued discussion about water meters. Every year we get closer to the deadline, and we're still not addressing that issue.
We're 10 years from that.
Are we 10 years?
Yeah.
From
yes.
Yeah. At least. We're actually living
more. We're actually more than 10 years.
What's it?
2005. I mean, 2025.
Right now it's 2024. January 1, 2024.
Okay.
But we've indicated in the past, and there has not been action that's taken by the legislature on it, but there have been multiple. Annual, I should say.
I've been hearing that.
It's been declined. We've heard it.
Telling you. All I'm saying is that each year there's legislation that is introduced. Whether it goes anywhere or not is a different subject.
Yeah.
I'm just letting you know that it does come up.
All right.
To move it up 5 years.
Yes. Yeah.
When are we going to treat our constituents fairly with regards to water bills? I mean, why is this board so opposed to being fair in how we distribute? And how we charge the residents of Discovery Bay for the water bill. I don't understand why that's not the thing we want to do.
Because I know what the bottom line is going to be. You're going to start, it's been proven in every town. We have our wastewater, our water guy, he said the same thing when he was here. People will start conserving, we'll reward them by raising their rates because we still have the same expenses every month. We need the same revenue.
We will not, they will pay the same amount of money for their water whether they have a meter in it or not. They'll still pay for the amount of water they consume. Actually, you're right. The rate will probably go up. But the amount of money they spend won't.
How will it not?
They're paying for what they consume.
Okay, I'll give you that. If I pay
for. And we have 30% of the Discovery Bay that's already doing that, paying for what they consume. And then we have 65 or 70% that's not. Like how are we fair? How is that fair to everybody in town?
Because I'm probably paying, as a single person living in a 3,100 square foot house, I guarantee I'm paying four times more than a lot of people in the family.
That didn't address my question.
I think that'd be a good future agenda item. We can,
it's not.
There's somebody in the public that would like to address this.
Sure.
I'm Galen Ziegler. I'm one of the people that has the meters. We're one of the people that is paying the higher rates if they go up, not the people that don't have meters because they're not encouraged to be conserving, which is one of your goals or objectives, is to try to get people to conserve water. The way to do that is have everybody go on the meters. It works. We conserve water over where we are because we're on the meters.
That's not my argument.
I don't think you have an argument because you're not being fair to us. We're charging, we're paying for the meters. If the rates go up, we'll be paying that, and the people over here are getting the same rate that we are, even though they're not conserving. I think that was...
I guarantee you, Dale, and I pay more than you are. I'll guarantee it.
Far more. Yeah, I agree. I don't dispute that one.
I'm paying probably three times...
You're not conserving the water.
How do you know I'm not conserving water? How can you make a blanket statement like that?
You, as a group that don't have the water meters... We had a consultant here telling us that if people went on water meters, they'd save water.
Okay.
Well, your point is given. I'm not going to have an argument going on.
I'm just saying that I think Kevin's right that we're not being equitable to everybody.
Let me just make this blanket statement. And if it's not the time to do it, it's not the time to do it. I'll continue to just bring up what I think needs to be discussed. But the bottom line is this: there is a X factor, which is the water that's consumed within Discovery Bay. So much water, and it costs so much money to run that system. So no matter how it's distributed, whether it's distributed the way it is currently, where some of us just pay a flat fee for it, and some pay through water meters, or whether we're all on water meters, the amount of dollars spent on water is not going to go up. The town of Discovery Bay is still going to need its nut. Same amount of money to run it. Ooh. And you're now, we may actually bring less water out of the ground because conservation may take an effect, but that's not going to save us because we don't pay for the water in the ground. That's free to us. We're very fortunate. We don't have to pay a source of water. We don't have to pay Hetch Hetchy or somebody else for our water. We get it out of the ground. So that cost is going to stay the same. It's how it's distributed to our constituents that is what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
The town of Discovery Bay is not going to pay any more for water whether we're on meters or not on meters. We pay the same amount of money. The money doesn't go up.
It's the amount of revenue, not the, what you pay for water. It's the amount.
The total revenue would be the same.
No, it won't.
It's not going to change.
Okay, let me put it another way. I pay right now about $520 a year for water. $485. I think we figured out this morning. $480 or $520.
It's $468 for a parcel of 5 to 10,000 square.
Okay, so $468.
That's just for water.
Just for water. You put me on meters, and my water bill comes in at $18 a month. After that, whatever, it's $22 a month because I don't use that much water.
Mm-hmm.
So. When we do our budget the following year, we say, here's what our water revenue is going to be. We're not bringing in a fraction of what we're bringing because people aren't using water and they're paying by the gallon. So in order to reward them, we still have the same operating costs, and we still got to pay that operating cost. I'm going to raise your rates to cover what you didn't spend on water.
Yeah, doesn't no matter. But that's my point.
Why
my
do
point
I want to pay more for less water?
The cost of the water didn't change.
How did it not change?
Because... You're not going to use, because you're still paying for that infrastructure. And so you want to isolate it to an individual. And I'm talking about the whole community, because we don't represent ourselves. We represent the community. And the community consumption costs for the entire town of Discovery Bay aren't going to change. It costs X amount of dollars to operate those tanks out there, and it costs X amount of dollars to pump it to the houses and to get it through the houses. That's just what it costs. That's not going to change no matter how it's evaluated, whether it's evaluated through taxes or evaluated through pumps.
But
now, if you want to turn around and look at it, well, you're still going to have the same revenue. If it costs $10 million to do that, it's still going to cost $10 million to do that. That the revenue doesn't change. It's how the revenue is designated fairly that changes. If a family of five will pay more for their water than a gentleman of one will pay.
Yeah.
What's unfair about that?
That's my hope. You're making my case for me. If you have people on the street that are paying... $468, whatever is the year that they're paying right now. Family of three, family four, whatever.
Okay.
Because that's what they're paying.
Okay.
They're not metered. And I live across, there's six of us, because all my block is a whole bunch of single people. So we all pay $468, same as you do.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I put the meters in, they're still only paying $468 across the street, because that's what they're actually using. And I'm now paying, instead of $468, I'm paying $210, all of us up and down the street.
Mm-hmm.
You have half the revenue coming in from our side of the street. Our bills didn't change in the town of Discovery Bay. I need all that revenue. So I'm going to double your rate to get that money back again, because I can't operate without any money.
I'm going to fairly charge you for the consumption of your water.
I agree.
That's what I'm going to
but
do.
But what if it's half?
I'm not changing your rate. I'm fairly charging you for the amount of water you consume.
We agree.
Right.
But what if it's only half of what I was paying before? What if it's only two something now instead of $468?
Then that's all you pay.
But your revenue, the town of Discovery Bay still costs the same thing to operate, and you're going to have to charge me more for that water because
right,
you can't live on what I'm
paying. Okay, but you will never pay more than that $468 that you were paying before.
So what's the point of putting my meter in?
Because then you may be paying $210 where the guy across the street's paying $700 because he's letting his sprinklers run all the time. Why should you be subsidizing his sprinklers?
There's a slim chance of that.
No, that's exactly
you have point. Homes in you have homes in the lakes and lakeshore that have five children and four children.
They're taking baths, they're doing washing machines, they're doing all that other stuff.
That's right.
They are. Look at the bills. You got all these people in lakes and lakeshore that have full families, husband, wife, and three and four kids. Anybody paying $700
bucks? That's because the whole town's not. That's because the whole town.
It's not any. So let's.
It's a workshop. I thought it is on the.
I thought it was too. It's a workshop. Let's argue it out here.
And that's fine. I'm not, and
I don't want to argue. No. I'm just saying that we do have a difference, a point of view, and all my only point is, and I agree with you, Ray, Mark, that. The perception, and that's why it's about education, the perception will be, hey, I'm saving money, and now you're raising my rates. Yeah. That's what's going to happen. But the same nut's being cracked. Nobody's, it's just distribution fairly. That's what it is. And some people will pay more, and some people will pay less.
Okay.
I think you're going to reward the person who conserves by raising his rates, is what you're going to do, and I don't think
that is a point of view. I feel it's kind of a negative point of view because really.
But I also think that the town of Discovery Bay should love me to death. I'm a single guy in a 3,000 square foot house, paying $468 a year for my water.
See, conservation is a huge thing. Being a good steward of the natural resources that we're using is a good thing, not a bad thing.
I agree.
Well, you're not going to conserve without meters.
I do.
Okay. Does anybody want to talk about anything about landscaping and parks and landscaping?
I still want to talk about water conservation.
Huh?
I want to talk about water conservation.
Okay, what do you want to talk about?
I want to have a study session on water conservation.
Okay.
And I think that we were talking about budgets of the forecast of the last meeting, mm-hmm. and we were talking about how much energy we use. Yeah, I guess the electricity is the most expensive, one of the most expensive components
of running the water, yeah.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. And so I see all these sprinklers and mm-hmm. all this water getting pumped into the gutters and during the daytime and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I know electricity is cheaper at night and stuff. And I don't know why we don't have a policy mm-hmm. or something in place so that we can help direct our neighbors and, mm-hmm. and even how we operate around here to help reduce. I'd like to make a goal at some point of, like, say, reducing 3% off of our electricity just by doing conservation efforts and making people use the water at night. And I think that running the pumps during the day costs a lot of money.
It does.
Yeah. So, anyway, I think a study session would be good on that.
Well, we can't turn our pumps off during the day or night or any time.
That's right.
They run 24/7.
They run 24/7.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, some of our water...
Even our peak time users.
Some of our water... and Virgil raises his hands and he's thinking the same thing I am. But the wells sometimes will cycle on and off, and sometimes mm-hmm. the pumps will cycle on and off. But the predominant user of our electricity is the wastewater side of the house, not the water side.
Oh, really?
Of the house.
Okay.
Those things are running 24/7 and will continue to run 24/7.
Because you tend to want to flush whatever you want.
You said some people get out in the middle of the night.
I like flush it. I like
that. Yeah, you only go to the bathroom 3 to 5.
But if you remember, one of the things I mentioned in there was energy conservation, and if we do have funds remaining when we complete our $14 million capital projects, that maybe energy efficiency to throw back at that would be a worthwhile substitution or a worthwhile use of those funds, certainly for board consideration when that time comes. Sure. But it's something that we're starting to kind of think about if we have some money left over.
Okay.
You know, we're doing LEDs, we're testing those, and we're doing things that we can try and do. So
Safeway windmills.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Might I mention to staff, I think we've heard that, well, we'd like to get a little more input on meters, et cetera, mm-hmm. at some particular point. I'm sure that some other water districts have gone through the process.
Mm-hmm.
They've metered, they've done whatever. There must be some information that they've put out into the water community.
We've done it on the west side of town.
Last year, didn't you tell us the average bill was $28 a month or $26 a month, whatever, for water?
Well, I just asked Dina, who's a family of four and lives in Lakeshore, and this is an average, is about $25 a month. Your average is about $39 a month.
Okay.
But they don't have backyard landscaping in place.
Mm-hmm. Neither do I.
Well, you're putting it in.
So going up. So I mean, it's just we had this conversation about a year ago. It was in the 20s, is what it was at the time, and it's half of what I'm paying. So,
and I don't have a problem with considering, but if everybody goes into, we're all paying 20-something bucks, and they got families of four. If it's 20-something bucks a month, we're going to double and triple everybody's rate to make our net.
Okay, let's move on. Let's move on.
Bring us up to date in 6-8 months from now.
How about parks?
Wait a minute. I don't know what you're asking me to do there. I did not get
clear. I do anything.
I wanted to have a water conservation workshop.
At some point.
I agree. When staff can fit it into there.
I think after we get through the crux of the community center.
So. Yeah.
With the time frame then, I'm just trying to get some ideas.
In the next 6 months.
I'm going to be pissed. I'm going to have to pay it.
Bring
We're
it back.
Take a break in 15 minutes. So you
bring it back at a later date.
Well, do we have a policy?
There's
nothing on the website about water conservation, is there? I'm
trying to get everybody to get no, as a matter of fact, that is why we have, one of the goals is to do that.
So, guys, board, we, I know Rick's got it on this paperwork here, but it's important that we give educational information.
Somebody have a comment? Did you have it? I did. Well, come up to the podium, sir.
And I just to go back on the conservation.
No, I'm sorry, you can't do that.
Don't start that.
What was that?
Don't start that.
Don't start what? Conservation. Yeah. When we do the study thing, the thing we got to keep in mind is landscaping uses a huge amount of water, and it needs a huge volume. Your nighttime might not be able to supply everybody with that volume. So you may, because you want to push everybody in the nighttime to sprinkling, you might not be able to provide it. You might not have the infrastructure to do that.
Really?
Just an pressure. FYI.
Yeah. Water pressure. Huh?
Water pressure. Yep. That's correct. The big heads that throw water way out there at our parks and landscaping do take a lot of pressure. Yep. And if we can't meet it, we have to put booster pumps in front of that, which then jacks up your cost for maintenance and infrastructure.
So in essence, what you're saying, maybe Virgil, is that the town really needs to work its landscaping watering around what the demand is.
We've already got a lot of our setup for nighttime for energy savings, but also for water consumption and to allow the users to have the water for nighttime. There are some cases where homeowners do sprinkle during the daytime. We sprinkle during the daytime only to test our clocks and our sprinkler systems. I mean, we have to go station by station, turn them on to see. Because we don't know. At nighttime, they could be broken and really not squirting the water out there, or some kid could have drove by or car drove over them, and we never know. So at nighttime, daytime is when we do that. So if you see us, sprinklers during the daytime, it's usually us testing the system to see where there may be leaks.
Can I ask a question about energy consumption? Virgil, with the other districts that are in the area, and even some of the cities that surround us, is it prevalent that almost everybody's buying their energy from PG&E? Is Brentwood, Iron House, are we all buying it?
The only exception is the pump house right up here, Country Costa Water, because they are a federal contractor.
Okay.
And so they have the ends with called WAPA.
Right.
Okay. And so they get their energy, but just for.
But other communities like Fountain House, we are all paying the same amount for our energy, and it's killing all of us.
Well, it all depends on the rate plan. But you're right.
I had this conversation with Tom Ironhouse.
Tom Williams.
Tom Williams the other day. Actually, we were talking about this, and we were discussing this exact same issue, and they're in the same boat.
Just hoping. I'll try again. Wanted to talk about discussion about parks, landscaping, and recreation. Anybody have a comment on that? Yes.
Well, I have a comment. I know it's on there, called the pickleball court, and I think there
that
was
be part of this. Yeah.
Yeah, there was a discussion that the possibility of utilizing one of the tennis courts that we currently use, and then there was discussion that, well, in order for the tennis club, you have to have X amount of courts in order to host a thing. So the question I would have is, prior to making any decision on the pickleball thing, would be to find out the demand for tennis and whether there would be a full-time need for tournament championship play, except I don't know what the terms are.
I think you're talking about using one of the courts at Cornell.
And make it a convertible.
Not at the athletic club.
We're going to move it.
Versus what's there now.
Correct.
And then they'll make it convertible to a tennis court.
So it's been kicked around, and I'm not clear, even though I'm on the committee. So, look, for clarity, and guide me in the right direction, what I'm understanding now is what we're thinking is that the tennis will be focused on the courts that are on the club, and the courts that are at Cornell will be converted. Is that
correct? No, just one. Just one out of two.
One, and Bill's right. The tournaments and that sort of thing.
Sure.
When Chris and I met with Green Play, they were, with respect to tennis tournaments, for a full-blown, robust tennis tournament, it's an eight-court set.
I need eight courts.
Okay. Most tennis tournaments in this area are not an eight-court tournament.
There's six, though.
Six, yeah. So you could theoretically move it over here to the community center if you wanted to, but the plan that has been generating some discussion, and I think it was actually Mr. Lyman's suggestion, if I'm not mistaken, would be to take one of the courts at Cornell, which can be converted into a four-court pickleball set.
Right.
Leave a free play tennis court still there. There would still be free play tennis during certain times of the day over here. And that we have, I believe we have $125,000 in this year's budget to do that. And in talking to Farron, she had a family commitment, so she couldn't be here today. But in talking to Farron about this, she believes that it can be done for somewhere between 20 and 40. We haven't gone out and looked at
because we're converting as opposed to building.
Exactly. Yeah, because, right. Remember, we just went in, we just resurfaced the courts. You have to resurface them again. It requires new fencing.
Mm-hmm.
It requires new concrete poles and netting and that sort of thing that would go in. So there would be significant savings to doing that if that's the direction the board wants to go.
Right.
No, I like that idea.
If I can. Didn't we decide also that we would, when we did the new pickleball court, we'd leave them set up that we could convert it back to a tennis court in the event that the pickleball craze went away?
Yeah, you can certainly agree. The dimensions don't change.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. Okay. Thank you.
Any comment from the? Yeah. Did you want to comment?
Pickleball court guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. We support converting the floor. That I talked to Farron and she and I actually didn't quite communicate well, but because I was talking about one of these courts, but those courts are fine for the. It's the same concept.
Sure.
Instead of building something new, you guys now you have 10 courts instead of two that you had before.
Yeah.
It just made sense to. They're not quite as good as the court we were going to build because there's a little bit of a space issue, but there's hundreds of pickleball courts around the country that are put on a tennis court. Now, unfortunately, our court out there isn't quite 120 feet, which is what they normally are. I think it's 118 or 119. But we'll be fine to put courts in there. So we support it. The pickleball players support it, or at least most of them do. When I started talking about over here, then we've got people that are saying, well, that's great, but
we support
converting it over there. And
very good.
And I imagine the sooner the better.
And the sooner, we thought we had it at one of the other parks. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Yeah.
And just for a suggestion, because we've just engaged with Greenplay, and they're going to be visiting us, and they're going to be out here in the near future. We can certainly have this discussion with them about, would we be better off bringing the pickleballers to the community center, or would we be better off having them go over there? And depending on the tournaments and that sort of thing for tennis, it certainly brings up, there's options, in other words. And maybe if it's the board's preference, we can certainly ask them to look
into
that.
What are we stuck on? Just location? Is that what you need direction on? That's all we need direction on. Okay.
Well, right now it is a capital project. It is ready to go to bid to build. And we have not done that. We have not done that pending this discussion.
We should just leave it there and put it right there. That's what we agreed on.
Yeah. I would have no problem with doing that right now.
Yeah, that's fine.
And save the funds.
Save the funds, exactly. Save all the money.
Build it Cornell and get it going.
We were just, previously, we were concerned about losing one of two courts to pickleball, so we agreed to build another one.
Mm-hmm.
Now we don't have that issue anymore.
Right.
Now, like you said, we're going from we're going from 12 to 11, which is great.
Right.
Yeah.
So
okay. 10 to 9.
10 to 9. Or whatever. Yeah. 8 to 2.
Yeah,
you're right. 10 to 9.
Yeah. You got 10. So. Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. Okay.
Yeah.
So,
thank you.
So we will then stop the planning process, and we will transition to converting a court.
Yes.
And we will bring that back to the board once we get the bids and the contracts.
Excellent.
To do all that.
Awesome.
Correct.
You read up something.
Yeah, thank you.
That's
a deal. I think we can.
Yeah.
I think, why not?
I agree.
Any other things on the And parks and landscaping?
I would. I'd like to add a consideration or a future for a ultimate frisbee at one of the parks. And that's a very simple with posts or markers and throwing a frisbee. It's kind of a frisbee golf course thing. And it's pretty fun. So I would just say.
Oh, I know what you're talking
about. It's a game.
About. Oh, it's a game.
It's okay. A game. And it's kind of like a golf game where they're, let's say, 4 foot posts mm-hmm. around an area. And mm-hmm. you're trying to bean the. You move your frisbees around
and hit the posts.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. It's kind of fun.
It's exciting.
It's a temporary thing where you can take the poles out so that you don't lose.
I don't know.
Yeah, I would think you would put a hole there with a cap or something,
exactly.
And you just put the pole in and take it out as you needed it.
Correct. So you don't lose the soccer or the baseball.
I would think
so. Or on the perimeter. I was thinking the perimeter.
Or you could even just probably put a disc. Well, yeah, that would be so
real. I was going to say outside the field.
We'll look
into
it.
More on the edge.
Yeah, there you go. Staff
we'll
look into that for you.
Very good. Any community, anybody out there?
Can we discuss the splash pad?
Yes, let's discuss.
We'd like to have some direction on that.
All right.
What's a splash pad cost?
The one that we have programmed. Do you remember the number? I believe it's between $300,000 and $400,000.
Wow.
Between. I don't want to lock in on a number.
Well, I understand. I just need to know if it's a $50,000 deal.
That was a much smaller one.
Yeah.
That's more of a commute. This is one that's more.
Got
more features. It has overhead
not
features.
Just coming out of the ground.
It's a much more extensive.
How much money we have in that landscape fund?
Well, this is Well, I should. Let me rephrase this. It was authorized by the board to do the design this year. And to build it next year. Okay, so
for
the
Cornell.
Design for Cornell. So the design is underway. We put the design on hold pending this.
Well, we're talking about moving it to
and
community center, right?
But wouldn't we have?
Committee hasn't got that far yet.
That's what I'm thinking. We would have to etch that.
That's huge. I didn't know. I thought it was like a $100,000 item.
No,
so
yeah. And we would have to.
That's what it was. That's what it was.
I've got a hose and a sprinkler. Enjoy that.
I'd be leery of
$300,000 to $400,000. I don't know how you can afford. How we can justify that at this time?
It's money that just sits there. Some landscape fund.
We're running out of stuff to use it for. I don't know.
Okay, we have talked about it.
I'd like to know if we want. We've done a lot of the preliminary design, and then we would just need to relocate it over to the community center. And it's laid out in such a fashion that if something were to future facilities were to go in, that it would not be impacted. We don't want to build it and tear it out, obviously. So it's built around a preliminary design plan that would stay in place. Thereby, you end up creating a true aquatic center. You have a place where you can come in and use the pool and use the splash pad. You pay a day use fee to come in there and use it, just like a lot of other communities do. Livermore does it. Brentwood has a small one out front of their community center.
My comment is that the community center committee hasn't really discussed it or considered that as part of the plan. And I really want splash pads at the other parks. I was thinking more like the one that we had at Slifer, that was
Ravenswood.
I thought that was going to do something similar at Cornell, and I didn't realize it was quite a larger. I thought it was 100 or 125,000.
Because there was a lot of a wide open drop jaws among the direct. When we approved the design, was it $300,000? Were we given the entire budget at that time? Or why is it a surprise to us?
Yes, you were. You were given the budget, and unfortunately, landscape doesn't have a 5-year. We didn't do a 5-year budget for landscape.
It wasn't $400,000.
We do a 5-year.
It would never came. It was never $400,000.
The design is $17,000. So
no, but I mean, we talked.
The design is $17,000.
Yeah, but we were remiss in asking what the entire budget was. If we didn't ask that, and staff was remiss in not telling us that we didn't.
We assumed,
it came up. I just don't know the number.
I speak for everybody here. When we said we assumed it was going to be like the other one.
Yeah, 185
grand.
Or 125
grand.
128.
Yeah. What was
Slifer? I believe it's about 125.
Yeah, that's what
are these restricted funds that are paying for this?
Yeah.
Or is this
in that zone?
Correct. They have to be used in that zone. I don't know. But that doesn't mean that they have... Are those only park and recreation funds?
Yes.
Totally
and they can't be used anyplace else. Well,
it's not restricted funds. So there's nowhere to put them. Well, I'm trying to...
As a member of the existing community center committee, yes. I don't think the committee is ready at this point. When we've indicated a couple of times, and I know that it kind of sounds like an excuse, but it really is true, that we really have been rushing just to get things to today when we clean the place up and keep it going.
Yeah.
We haven't considered as a committee yet, even thinking about what the configuration may be and how we might want to incorporate what's there currently with what may be there in the future.
Okay.
And although I understand that the board may want to take a greater involvement in that, we haven't even looked at that yet. And I'm not comfortable with making any decisions or going any directions yet about designing the community, that 7 acres around a water park, and yet at this point. It very well could be exactly the right thing to do, connected to the pool or something, but we just aren't there yet.
No, we're not. That's good.
Okay, the Dina got me the number. It's 197. So I was off by 100%.
That's a little different. Yeah. It's not quite as...
The other issue that I would really be concerned with athletic club, for us to go in there and get the committee to rush in there and say, okay, let's put it here, we'd have to follow that up with landscaping. I mean, you'd have to beautify everything around it. You're not want to just put a
future
slash
building paths. Yeah. There's a lot of things to consider.
Fences,
so.
Landscaping, benches, umbrellas.
Yeah. And to Bill's point, we don't want to spend $197,000 on something and decide it's in the wrong place.
Yeah, and then find out we can't put up something that should have gone there. So
right.
Let's just leave it where it was going to go.
If anything, I would think
I like what Mark said. Leave it where it was planned to go.
Yeah. I don't have a problem with that either.
Have the splash pads at the spokes of the hub instead of at the hub.
We got it. I don't know if we have to have one or not today. So.
Well. If and when the community center committee, whomever, gets around to the point of looking at water, which would be the swimming pool complex, I think it would make sense to at least consider
a
splash pad component of some sort.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. In the right location, on the right master plan,
at the right time.
So it's not going to impact future growth. And I know we have some of that in place.
Yeah. But my question here is, if you just arbitrarily say, well, let's put a splash pad at Cornell. Is it too big, too small? How far along? I wasn't in on it. I don't know. The size configuration. I think you're in the design phase. Staff's in the design phase now.
The
need, I guess, the demand would be.
Leave it to the finance person to think dollars and cents. Mm-hmm. And she reminded me that if we put it at the community center, we'd generate revenues from its use because it would become part of the day use fee to come and use a pool and that simultaneously.
Correct.
Just a consideration. We have had pushback from the residents of Cornell Park. Mm. Now, they did buy a house on the park.
Oh, really?
Similar to buying a home near an airport. But we are getting pushback from them with respect to, you just put in the new playground there, and it's brought in a lot more new people, and now you want to bring a splash pad in.
Yeah.
You know, we've had what I refer to as success headaches over at Ravenswood. It's been so successful, it's created headaches. And it is used during the summer every single day.
I don't think it's a question of whether or not, this is definitely if you build it, they will come thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I just think that considering when we first initially went forward with that, we had no idea that this property was going to be purchased for the purpose.
My suggestion at this moment would be to hold off on a splash pad anywhere until the community center group has had an opportunity to get down to that, because I'd hate to tie up or commit funds and then find out, as you just mentioned, there's a revenue source. If we added a little bit more to the splash pad fund, we can get some revenue out by having it at the community center. So I would my suggestion is just hold off on a splash pad until community center group gets a little farther down the road and we kind of see where we're going.
I like that too.
So I'll go ahead and take that as a direction to bring it to a future community center committee meeting.
We're certainly not in discussion to build it right now.
Yeah.
I'm looking to the chair of the committee.
Prior to a workshop though, then the board can discuss.
I'm looking to the chair of the committee for that.
Yes,
thank you.
And prior, please bring that. Yes. That'll be on an agenda prior to our first committee meeting. That, if in fact that's the direction we go, think planning that so it can be discussed as a board too. You hopefully will have some recommendations and some input.
Okay, what's this park and landscaping master plan board direction?
I have spoken with a member of the board who similar to what we did with the water master plan and the wastewater master plan, mm-hmm. where we went out, we assessed our facilities, our long-term needs, our long-term requirements. There was one that was performed a number of years ago, but it wasn't quite a master plan. It was more of a look-see, I think. Virgil was...
It was primarily because when Discovery Bay was built, as you know, there are multiple tracks.
Yeah.
A track could be one street to be multiple streets.
Spent a lot of money on that plan.
Pardon me?
We spent a lot of money on that.
Well, we spent some money on that, but the idea was that each track a developer mm-hmm. comes, they do the landscaping, and it's a hodgepodge. We mm-hmm. may have pines here, palms, pines or coconut trees or whatever. Mm-hmm. We didn't have any continuity right. to that, so that's why we did the master plan.
Mm-hmm.
So as folks approached us, we say, you know what, palms tend to be the theme. Mm-hmm. We want to see that cherry tree or eucalyptus or whatever it might be. That's the reason why we did that.
What street have we got the coconut trees on?
Yeah,
I know. I just thought I'd throw it.
I'm just curious.
See, you're awake.
At least you know I was paying attention.
We're on Coco Palm Avenue.
The idea here is to try and identify long-term needs with respect to, just like we did with the water and wastewater master plans, our facility needs from today into the future. And there's just a lot. I mean, we want to look at the parks, we want to look at the streetscape, you just want to look at irrigation, you want to look at plant. How robust do you want it, you know, how inclusive you want it to be?
Is this something that would be done with staff in-house, or is this something that we would have to have a consulting firm come in?
We don't have the skill. We have the skill set, we don't have the abilities in-house to do all that.
Well,
we provide the support to it, just like we did on the wastewater.
From my standpoint, I would like to just get some sort of a budget number on what it would take to develop the master plan and approximately how long prior to giving staff direction to go ahead and do it.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. No, we would, if you want us to look into it and get, we would send out, you know, an RFP to different companies and see who, you know, but what I'm looking for is before we get to even that stage, we want to know what you want included in there. We want to make sure that what we're including is what is being desired by the board. So, that's our dilemma.
From my standpoint, just like a 5-year CIP program, we have to look at everything. I don't see why we would want to spend money to look at 75% of what things need to go into that plan. We need to look at 100% of it, and then the board can decide, well, that's nice, but we're not going to be able to do this and this and this, versus, oh, that would be nice, now we got to add to it again. I'd rather see the big picture and whittle it down if we have to from there.
I'd like to have the proposal or the outline of what the master plan might look like and have that ready so that we can have that before the budget planning starts.
Correct.
You know, I don't know. It'll probably take a month for one of these guys to get off their computer to get the RFP out there and go find out who's out there.
Is there something? I mean,
you're killing me, Chris.
last week, right?
These types of plans have been done in the past. Is there a way to kind of sniff around a little bit and just do a two-pager of here's, if you want to look at all the things, here's the list of stuff you'd have to consider. I mean, something easy to do, not a 2-week process.
Brentwood's got one, a master plan, and
They're certainly out there, and you know, we are very adept at utilizing and not recreating the wheel. I'm not sure, in due respect, Director Steele, that I get it. We can get to it between now and the budget time. We can probably identify what a budget number might be and plug that number in, and then come back to it all the information that you're seeking.
I don't want a master plan budget. I'm asking for identifying experts that consult for that, and getting 2 or 3 examples from local communities that already have one, so that we can have a
look, see at what, right, here's the top 10 categories of items that are included in a master plan.
I think the budget issue that staff is looking for as well, if we decide we want to go and get a master plan, then we are going to have to hire a consultant. So we just need to know, is that a $25,000 item? Is it a $100,000 item? If, as staff suggested, they go ahead and can't get that completed in time, if they put a budget number in there for a consultant, when we get to that point, we can either act on it or not act on it. We haven't spent any of the funds for the consultant at that point, and it gives staff a little breathing time.
I don't think I'm clear on the value of what you're asking for. Can you explain it to me? I'm sorry, I apologize. What's the value of what you're asking for here? What's it going to do for us?
It would be similar to what we did with the water wastewater master plans. It would just help us identify what type of what capital improvements might be needed in the future, where we're currently deficient, what upgrades we should make to be more efficient, what plant types we might be able to utilize to be more water conscious, those types of considerations.
It's a big plan.
Future budget expenditures is what you'd end up with at the end.
It's a big money plan.
It would probably turn into a five-year, into a five-year, CIP program, if you will.
I'd like to have us adjourn for 10 minutes, because we have the goodies back there, and then come back.
Already.
Take a break.
That's how you run a meeting.
Right.
Yeah.
That was a great discussion.
Just going back to these two slides, do those look, other than the items we've discussed and kind of gotten direction on, do these seem to be within the board's liking, if you will? As we move projects forward, and a lot of these we're already doing, but they're just continuing on.
Everything but the carport.
Is the carport on this?
Oh, yeah, it is.
Where is that? I don't see a carport.
They renamed it.
I don't see
it's
a carport.
It's the Vehicle and Equipment Storage
Facility. Oh, I see that. I don't see a carport.
It's the Mark Simon Memorial Carport.
That's what it is.
Confirm this. We spent a number of dollars repairing, but not only the back truck, but also the power washer motor blew.
But I can tell you, there's twice this year we needed our back truck out in the field. We took it out to go flush, and we couldn't flush. The hose, 600 feet of hose, was all frozen. So you had to unwind the hose by hand, let it sit out in the parking lot, and the sun come out to obviously loosen that water in that hose to get it out. Had it been in a carport, we wouldn't have to. If it had been an emergency, we could have used the back truck.
It's no warmer in a carport than it is outside.
It is. It would protect the water, won't freeze in there, because the water tank and the water in the hose would swells up. It could have busted.
So when they bring the truck in, why don't they unroll the hose, get the water out, and roll the hose back up like the fire department does?
It's not that easy.
Fire department does it all the time.
Oh, yeah, but they do, the fire truck, so they strip the water out first out of the hose and roll it up. Ours has water in it all the time.
And fire trucks are kept inside.
They still take the water out of it. For $120,000 grand.
The idea here, again, it would be a three-sided. It would have a roof and a back and two sides. One or two sides to protect from the UV. That vehicle, the UV truck, is our largest, most expensive piece of roll. I'm sorry, largest, most expensive piece of rolling stock. It's made out of high plastic components, a lot of it, besides the chassis and everything else. And it's a hugely expensive truck. And I think that in the long run, you want to protect it.
I would suggest that staff, at some point when we maybe get a grip on some of these things that we're really, like the community center, future end of the year a little bit, have staff bring the proposal back to the board. All they can do is go thumbs up, thumbs down on it.
But the drawings are done. It's just a matter of bringing it whenever you want to bring it back to them.
Let me, there's an item on here. but talks about solar lighting and shade structure at Cypher Park. There are some solar companies or structural companies like the public storage building and such that they'll put up a structure and use the roof and turn it into solar. And in some cases, do it on a lease basis, or in some cases, just do it at no charge. You don't get the electricity, but you end up with a building. Has staff had an opportunity to maybe look into that at all?
The solar at Slifer are solar lights, park lights, walkway lights. But if I'm hearing you correctly, I'm thinking that
these are solar panels
top
for the
of the parking structure, the top of that could have solar panels
They actually will, the roof will be the solar panels.
Correct.
The shade structure will be solar panels. The colleges are doing now.
There's a couple of things for that. It wouldn't be enough for a company to come in and make money because we don't get tax credits. We'd have to have a lot more solar panels. And probably the most other item that we have is the issue with the solar panels is the washing of them. Because we're out there in the middle of the farmland with the farmers disking, we do get a lot of dust on top of the panels, so you're losing the efficiency based on the current technology today. And so we'd have to wash them, and that's our problem.
That's something that could be accomplished relatively simple with Veolia contractors. Mm-hmm. That's certainly something we can look at. We haven't considered. Yeah. But I did include in the discussion would be to do some, and I know we don't have enough money to do a large solar array, if you will.
Well, I'm not
a small one.
I'm not advocating for it. I was just looking at a way to even have a no charge building of some sort. But if that's because of size, et cetera, isn't the way to go. I'm not a true solar fan at this point, and the reason is that at the end of 10 to 15 years, the inverter and all that stuff goes out, so whatever savings you had, you got to now buy something else, and so you didn't save any money in the long run anyway. But
would you feel real good about it?
Yeah.
I also want to make a comment with regards to the last item, Earth Day 2013. Just for the benefit of those that may have not been here before, some of the people that are in the audience for the first time in a while, we have made a decision in part in trying to engage the community and having them buy off on the value of the property that we purchased. The Earth Day is going to be at the community center, and it will be it will bring in many members of the community to see exactly what's going on and dispel any concerns or address any concerns and hopefully dispel any negative rumors about whether or not we're moving in the right direction, because it's going to be well planned and it's going to have great activities for children of all ages.
Has there been, maybe it's too premature, any discussion on how to get that information out to the community so they're aware of it well in advance?
We are finishing up the planning of it as we speak. That will be, you don't want to get out too soon, you don't want to get it out too late either. The flyer is almost done. We're almost wrapped up with all that information. We had to get the vendors in place and that sort of thing. And then we'll be doing some community advertising, and we'll probably roll our message board out for a while.
Can we get a save the date out to the newspaper?
Save the date out. Yeah, we can do that.
Well, there's exactly where I was going, and that brings me to something I had written, and maybe it would come up later, but I'll bring it up now, is that you provide for us kind of an update, your Friday letter, which is informational. My thought would be that not the Friday that you give us the information, but the next one or the one after that or something, if we were to submit that information to the newspaper on a continuing basis, so that every Friday there's a little section in there that talks about what's going on in the town of Discovery Bay, some of these items, we would then have a continuous way to get the information out to the community.
Yeah, like a newsletter, a blog, or a news release.
I guess it's something to do with that seat. Previous director of that seat. Actually, we were doing it. It just didn't, I don't know how come it didn't remain consistent. What, it was
Austin, our communication.
What's that, Friday letter?
We had moved forward with that exact idea at one time.
Oh, yeah.
We only wrote it 1 week, I think.
We don't want to. What I'm saying is we don't want to reinvent the wheel. You've gone to the effort to give us some bullet points. Mm-hmm. That should be enough for a reporter to make a little story or something out of it. And if they can do a POA for us in the paper each week, we get X amount of space. I don't know what it is. Now the community gets used to seeing, hey, here's what's going on in town.
That's what we're doing.
We started it.
Right, but we haven't had one for a while.
Exactly.
So here's a suggestion, and we had a great communication committee a year and a half ago, and we had all these great ideas that came about was a regular press release, ad space, making sure our website had a content on there that was actually something that was new, besides having a meeting posted, and I think that the board should have an agenda item to go review that, and I think that a regular press release would do a lot for, I'm gonna need as much press as we can on that community center for us to get, you know, people going, but I think it's very easy. The paper, we've written articles in the past, and it saves them time. It cut and paste, and it works great for a newspaper.
Well, I agree, and that's why I was saying that it could become just part of, you know, one of staff's items on a Friday, or and they, you send it out, or the Monday you send it out, and they print it the next Friday.
Or even just shoot a Friday letter to them. I don't know, but yeah.
Well, it needs to be consistent, and it needs to be kind of in the same format all the time, and mm-hmm. one person. But if you know, Manager Howard's already went to the work of doing that, maybe one of the one of the staff person's responsibilities would be just to make sure that letter, that information gets to the press that following Monday or something, so they could print it and just work out an arrangement with them that they will see it and have the ability to print it every Friday.
He is a great creative writer.
I'm a bullet pointer.
You've got a lot of free time.
Hey, don't give her that job.
I won't.
Just kidding.
Yeah,
I think it's a good idea. Mm-hmm. I don't want to task staff with a huge effort, but I do think that it is something we discussed. I think it's something that's important. I think that put the town logo up in the upper left-hand corner so people always know it's there, and just consolidate something I guess. Probably the best place would be just the Discover Bay Press. That seems to be most reliable.
Everybody here gets one of those, so, and most people enjoy reading it. I would, maybe it's when the reporter from the press is here at one of our next meetings, we can ask them the question of how we would go about getting that, getting them to.
Well, they were willing to do it last time.
I don't want them to write it for us.
No. We just take the information that we have, we submit it, and they tweak it.
The emphasis won't be where we want
exactly.
It. It'll become editorial.
We should take Rick's letter to the board and change it to letter to the community, is what it should be, and write it accordingly to that, and let them put it in every week.
Let them rewrite it, or we'll do whatever.
No, don't rewrite it.
There's times, like this past Friday, yesterday, I just didn't get to it. We were so busy with so many other things, and, you know, sometimes I have to miss one and catch up. So that was, you know, I had a lot to give you guys this week.
It probably doesn't have to be every week,
week,
does it?
Maybe so, what you do
every other week.
Paper comes out every Wednesday.
It'll come out every Friday.
Thursday.
Well, the deadline, whatever the deadline.
I like the idea of maybe maybe instead as we take the big hit items on a monthly basis and give them to them.
Well,
instead of each week, because I don't think they're going to run it each week.
They run a paper every 2 weeks, don't they? Or
every week. Well, I think if we really need to do a better job of communicating to the community, and I think if we, once a week, maybe that is too much and whatever, but once a month I don't think is enough. So if we could submit something to them every 2 weeks, the average person, resident, would be able to see that, and now we can focus it any direction we want to.
Maybe shadow our meeting schedule or something.
Whatever, yeah.
And Rick, because there was no letter Friday, I had nothing to read last night.
Yeah.
Disappointed.
I didn't even know.
I'll make it up to you, Mark.
It was hard to have a Crown Royal under rocks and nothing to read.
No pictures.
Okay, so we're going to move on to, we have something here with mission, vision, goals, and values.
Prior boards before this one, I don't know if Director Tetro was on the board at the time.
I was.
Developed a mission, vision, goals, and value statement.
I was.
They were never, adopted by the board for one reason or another. I don't know the reason for that. I'm going to guess there was not consensus, which led to it not being adopted by the full board. But this is what was identified and is actually posted to our website. They are generic. They provide the mission, a vision, and goals and values. From the staff perspective, we have a mission. We have a value statement that's part of our jobs that we have. And each year, the employees are the performance reviews are actually graded on their attention to that set of values. And so, this is certainly something in addition to that that the board can articulate to the community. It's absolutely not uncommon to have something like this, but it's certainly a board call.
Mm-hmm.
I think that because pretty much many businesses and many towns are doing mission, visions, and goals statements, it's becoming pretty common. And I think that it's really easy to write your mission, but it's another thing to live the mission. And I think if you're going to do what's in this vision, wonderful. I think that this board in the last few years has actually done this. The transparency in this board has been, I mean, we were here in the old regime, and the direction we're going at this point, I think, fits into a lot of what's in here. In fact, it fits in almost all of this, and I'm proud of it. But if we're going to have visions and goals, let's make them attainable and not just put something that sounds good or looks good when people read it in the newspaper, because that's just wrong.
We used to have, in one of my prior employers, the mission statement was printed on the back of everybody's business cards. Mm-hmm. So you were constantly reminded of it. It wasn't just something that hung on the wall. It was actually something, and as you handed out your cards, the people would see what that was.
Okay.
Just looking for board input.
I like it. I mean, if we're doing what it says, I like it.
Are you proposing that we
adopt
it as it stands?
I think we should talk about it and see who wants to take what out and put what in.
I think we should put it on an agenda item and bring it back like that.
I think that, okay. Oh, I was thinking,
versus trying
I'd
to
like
work.
To work on it. I think it's pretty important.
Instead of wordsmithing it right here.
Yeah, I don't want to wordsmith it.
Get it,
but
get
you
it
can
to us.
With staff and give them your input.
Yeah, or I would say let's put a little subcommittee on this and get a couple of us to craft something.
Why don't we just each of us give Rick our input on whatever and let him massage together and see if we can let him come to an agreement.
Yeah, understanding that it may not be the exact thing you wrote, but it may have the content of what you intended, and so we don't end up going back and forth a million times. Right. Oh, that's not what I meant, but, you know.
Okay. Yeah, we don't need another subcommittee.
I agree.
I would ask that we do that sooner than later.
Well, we'll put it on a very soon agenda.
And staff, you mentioned the fact that this is on our website. The whole entire thing is on our website?
So that was cut and pasted from the website.
I think it should be on every page of the website and the
I have a problem with it being on the website, considering that it's not anything that we've adopted and or agreed upon, or any board has adopted or agreed upon. I mean, I wouldn't, if another board adopted and agreed upon it, I wouldn't take it away from them, but you're telling me they haven't. So to put it on there and give the impression to the community, this is what a board has agreed is the mission, vision, and goals of the CSD, I think is misrepresentation.
So I'm bringing it to you.
All right, yeah, let's take it off the website, and then we'll get a newer.
I wasn't on the board when this was.
I don't know when this
is before.
When I was off.
Before my time.
Yep.
This is old.
It was included on the website when the website was built.
I think it was at the discretion of the website designers that they just grabbed something and put it on there.
Put it on there, exactly. Okay.
I didn't see any goals this year about technology or usage or.
Hello, we have this blank page.
Yeah, I know. So
make
so,
your suggestions.
So I am gonna make a suggestion.
Oh, make it.
Is that we update our website and that we.
We have a thing on the website.
What is the goal for the website this year?
It was on there. Let's read it.
It is always to continue to populate it with relevant material. We do not have in-house IT staff. Mm-hmm. You are looking at the one web designer we have at the left-hand side, of the, all the way at the end of the table. Carol's the one that that puts the loads, the populates the website, if you will. We do not have the ability to redesign it. We don't have the capabilities to redesign it without
really
spending money on it.
Okay.
We've done that. We've done it in the past. We went through kind of a.
Then I would make an agenda item that we a future agenda item to discuss website enhancements.
That's good. That's good.
There's something specifically, Chris?
Yeah, I'd like to see, like, I'm building a site for one of my companies, and I'd like to see on the side of it with this this news feed or a blog or the Twitter feed. And, you know, it's like 120 words. It's very short, or 120 characters. Mm-hmm. But I would, you know, and you can subscribe to it, and it would just update me. You know, Community Center just opened, new tennis courts in renovation or whatever. But
someone on the staff would have to actually put that
in. I don't know if it would be a staff person or a volunteer. I don't know.
When we went through the upgrade that we did about 6 months or so ago, Carol,
yeah,
we worked with George.
Mm-hmm.
We did do some upgrades to the website. We made it more user friendly. We got rid of some stuff that didn't work, and we created some areas in there that provided enhanced user capabilities, user access, if you will. And we did build in Facebook, and we did build in Twitter into the site. They are just hidden right now. They are buried in the background. So to bring those forward is not a difficult thing to do.
Yeah, I was looking at it as a communication medium, and I think the website is lacking in communication medium. I think, again, we do a good job of having our meetings and recording them and getting the press on it and getting, from 5 to 50 people in this room pretty consistently. But I'm just looking at an easier way to keep this information out there and not to tie up staff. I know we got limited resources, but cut and paste. I'd like to see a Twitter feed. I'd like to see more communication going out to the public, whether they take it or not. But I would expect that when I Google Town of Discovery Bay, it wouldn't come up with just my name. It would come up with whatever's going on. But it's not on there right now. I think that there's a feedback mechanism in that some people can comment. I don't know if all of you guys are using any social media, but I think there's a feedback. It's okay to have feedback, good and bad, about what's going on.
Who's
going to
monitor and evaluate, and what's the purpose?
Well, if you're all on it, you'll know what's going on.
It was envisioned that it would be a one-way
only.
It would be outgoing only from us. There would not be the ability for others to comment on it and respond and then get into a dialogue, if you will. It would be a one-way out for information.
Okay, please come forward, sir.
My daily role is an IT manager, so I think the thing that would do more, I appreciate the Twitter feed, but we do have all of our announcements on the side that works. The one thing that's not on here is an RSS feed.
Right.
And if you have an RSS feed, what that does is when I subscribe to it, it comes into my email, and it notifies me anytime that there's a change to the web page, so that if you post anything on that web page, it'll automatically come into my email. That's going to be very effective. Those people that don't subscribe to Twitter or TweetDeck and monitor all of that, but still having what you were talking about, but also adding the RSS feed.
Can you ask a question?
Yes.
Use some of our resources we have here in front of us. So when you say subscribe to, if I'm just Joe Schmo out there, right, and I go to the website, do I actually have to sign up to get that RSS feed?
It's a little orange symbol that the web
I know what it looks like, but I don't know
when you click on it, it actually will acknowledge. You're going to have to tell it, though, which email address that you want it to function to.
Okay, so I got you.
You see it
on tons of websites, sporting sites.
I just never knew how it works.
It's the one function that I don't see on here, and it may be in the background.
It is in the background also.
Okay.
I have a question. Mm-hmm. If it was able to be happened, to make it happen, would you volunteer to help staff do something?
I can help guide it. I don't design websites.
Well, it's already there.
Yeah, if you guys already have it,
it's
just a function that once they enable it, whatever page the fee, because you have to apply that to mm-hmm. each page. So if you have 15 pages, the feed is specific to the page.
So if I'm understanding this correctly, then you would probably do in order to try to generate interest within the people that we want to get information to, is there would probably be a little thing that says, for updates, click here. You click on it, you put in your email address, and then it would direct you to the front page where we are then using our news area that you pointed out on the right-hand column to update. And if PubMed gets updated, it sends out a message to them.
It's not just for the news section. If it's on every page, as he says, whatever
but
is updated.
But would we want it on every page, I think is what I'm saying.
It would depend on if you've got pages that are talking about upcoming subdivisions in the area.
Page.
What's going on
they'd
with
have
the things I'm
page,
interested
though.
Yeah. The things that they're interested in. Mm-hmm. That they're not just subscribing to the welcome page. Okay. And at the bottom of it, not everybody understands what an RSS feed is, so you have to have a little bit of training and to subscribe to this or to get updates, pick the RSS feed, and then when they're on other pages, then they know to do
can
that.
You track how many, can we track the volume of interested parties?
Yes, because those people that have chosen to be a part of the feed are going to be part of what
it is. Is there a counter or something on there?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, though. At least we know there's 100 people watching it or 1,000
or none.
Yes.
Or none.
Exactly. All right.
Thank you very much.
I think that's worthwhile. I think it's worthwhile to be.
Yeah, that works to know a lot of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially the ability to see if people are listening.
Okay, Rick, you want to talk about this? Workshop.
Sure. I did mention before we go there that I've updated from Wednesday night's budget review mid-year that we have plugged in numbers for 2013-14 also tentatively. This obviously have to go through board. And I don't know, in some of those are some of these mm-hmm. things we've discussed. For example, the update to the MPDES plan is included mm-hmm. in there for 13-14. For a consultant that we'll probably be hiring maybe late this year or early mm-hmm. next year. But the fact is that we are going to be working on the budget calendar with the budget subcommittee on that. But if any of you want to mm-hmm. see these latest numbers, I can go ahead and provide them to you later. This last item is a Brent Ives is a local consultant who works not local just locally but throughout the state and the region. He's mayor of Tracy, and his primary business happens to be providing workshops with elected officials in order to provide interactions between the board, between the public, how to enhance participation between the electeds and the public they serve, between the staff and the board and the public. And so I've spoken to him, and two of the board members, both directors Graves and Steele, have participated in some of his workshops at some of the CSDA conferences. And I believe that it would be helpful if this board were to embark and proceed with bringing Brent in and doing a series of doing a workshop session, and the way he does it, he would meet with me and then with each of you individually, and then take all that information and come back and have a very informal workshop in terms of addressing some of the concerns that you may have, that sort of thing. And so I think it would be beneficial. But certainly up to the boards for their, it's up to your determination.
So I did a webinar like when I was first came on the board through the town here, and then I met him down in San Diego at that CSD meeting. Yeah. What I got out of it was that he can provide some tools and to improve our effectiveness on how we interact with the staff and the community, and I think that he would give us some perspective and help us to be more functional. I think we've got a really good board. I think it's the best one that I've known of as long as I've been in Discovery Bay. And I would just say that his insights into making boards more effective, and whether it's the morale or it's the behind the scenes issues or whatever, I think that it would be beneficial. I don't know what the cost is on it, but I think that even 30 minutes with the guy would definitely help focus our energy and make things smoother.
The proposed fee is $84.50.
Okay.
Yeah, which I have a problem.
I do too.
Other comments?
Yeah, look, I've participated in similar types of things when I was on the city council in Fremont. I think they can be worthwhile. I think the board interacts as dysfunctional as we may be. You know, we're getting there. I tend to stir it up a little bit, but we'll get better at it later. I do have a problem with the fee. I just can't justify, I try to do the numbers. Well, if he's here with me for an hour, there's 5 hours in the Rick, there's 3 hours, there's 8 hours, and then there's 2 hours, and there's 16 hours. That's $500 an hour. I'm going, I don't know what he can do or can't do, and I don't know if this is the only guy that does this, but I can't justify $8,500 for this kind of a thing. I even tried to say, well, what if it was half of that? I don't know what's fair and reasonable, but it's a lot of money just to. And there's no takeaway other than we're going to someone that's going to listen to us say, well, you can, if you work together better and did this and that, whatever. Yeah, there's some value to that, but I'm having trouble with the number, not necessarily the end result, I guess.
You have a comment?
I do.
Make it.
Okay. I've actually participated in a couple of Mr. Ives' workshops, and what I guarantee this board, and I'll be bold enough to say it, is there's nobody on this board that knows exactly what their role is. There's nobody here that is nearly as effective board member as you should be based on, at least on the stand. Unless, now, he may be giving me bad information, so my evaluation may be totally incorrect. Maybe we're all perfect, but based on the fact that this gentleman makes a living doing this, he's well-respected within the CSD, that he gives free workshops at the CSD conventions or gathering groups, conferences. I guarantee, when I went in there and took the class, I had no idea what I didn't know about what I was supposed to be doing, about what my real role is as a board member. And I don't think, and based on what I heard, and granted it was only a 55-minute class, none of us do. And I think it's extremely valuable. I also think it's probably a moot point, but I'm going to give my opinion anyway, because I can add. But I'm just telling you that we're ignorant in thinking that this is a functional board and that we're doing our jobs correctly and efficiently, because we're not.
Yeah, I don't disagree with what you said. The only issue I have is the dollars. I find it difficult to go back out to the community and say we just authorized $8,500 for a fellow to come in and help us.
We did.
I don't know. You know, once you make that vote, that's there's where I'm at. The number was lower. Maybe I'd be better. But
I will say the consensus doesn't support this item.
Let me.
Go ahead, please.
As somebody who was here before both of you met with him, and somebody who's here now after you met with him, I think you're both good board members. Trust me, I love this board, but I don't see a difference. You speak from your heart, and if a matter, an issue comes up, you say what's on your mind, and I love that about you. I mean, you get up and say, "This is damn it, this is how I feel," and if I sat down with you and said, "Look, I'm going to teach you how to." You're still going to speak to me from your heart, no matter what it is. And if you're passionate on an item or a situation, you're going to speak to that passion. Mm-hmm. So are you. So am I. Mm-hmm. I don't want somebody to make me a better board member. I don't want a guy to sit me down and tell me, this is what I think you should be doing. I went through this, and when I went through management, which is totally different in my business, we went through these management seminars. They sit with you for hours. And I just, I'm going to be mean no matter what happens. And I don't think a guy sitting with me for an hour, for 2 hours, is going to change what's happened to me in 63 years. I don't think it's going to happen. That's my feeling.
I don't disagree with that one iota, Mark. Happy birthday, by the way.
63 years today is his birthday.
I did remember that. Happy birthday. But what I'm not talking, but just for sake of discussion, that's not what we're talking about here. We're not talking about anybody changing anything. What we're talking about is you understanding what your role is as the board member, and I'm telling you, according to what the little insight that I got, I won't talk about you, I'll talk about myself. The little insight I got, and I think I'm pretty effective as a board member too. And I was here before I went to the classes, yeah. You know, because I was here through some weird times, very tail end of them, right?
Yes, they were.
And I'm telling you that it's the role that a board member has, and what our role is as a board member, not who we are, not changing who we are and how we speak and how we feel, but what our role is within the community. And we all have different opinions about what that role is. I know we do.
Yeah.
Therefore, are we really all working towards the same goal then? Because we have different ideas of what our role is. There is a role that is, you know, I said my piece. I'm not going to change anybody's mind. I just want to let you know that I'm not talking about, that's not really what it was about, is changing who you are and how you think. It's about what your role is as a board member and what your role is with regards to the responsibility of your constituents. Mr. Peace and I have a difference of opinion, and we've discussed it, friendly, about the primary role of what we are as board members. He's not 100% right. I'm not 100% right. But there is, I can do a better job of it. And it was very eye-opening. That's all I can tell you. That's all I'm going to say.
Rick, can you check with him and see if he has different, I don't know if he does or he doesn't, different kinds of amount of involvement to get the number down somehow, or do something different, a little something like so. I'm in favor of it. I just can't get over the fee.
What I discussed with him was a little bit more comprehensive than what these two directors.
Oh, we
attended.
Just got to tip the iceberg. Yeah. It was enlightening.
And was so the thought was my. I would, from my personal standpoint, I think it would be good for the board and staff, not just me, but staff in general, to have some interaction and what our role is, not just me, but the rest of us on the other side of the table, and how we interact with you and how you interact with us. Not to say it's bad by any stretch of the imagination, because it isn't. It's very positive. But I think it's important so that we all know what our true roles are. Now, moving to answer your question more specifically, absolutely. I will discuss with him, I'll call him and see if there's something that he can tailor that would be more of a, maybe more of an introductory to this, maybe something where you can come in and spend a few hours doing what you attended without getting into some of the background and getting into our brains or something.
Whatever.
Well, I'm not sure. Well, there could be some value in that.
Well, what?
But what you might get out of it is, let's go ahead and finish the full enchilada, if you will.
Yeah, and you know, I had no idea what the fee was either when I had talked to Rick about this, and we actually discussed this over a year ago,
yeah.
And decided we'd at least table it until we saw what the structure of the board was going to be like for at least the next 2 years. And that's the other thing, the board's always changing complexion.
Correct.
So who's getting the benefit of it? Honest to God, this isn't a setup, but I'm going to ask Rick, and answer me honestly, Rick, have I dealt with you differently since I took that seminar with regards to my role between you, me and staff, and at the time I was the president of the board, so I had more interaction with them at the time, than I did beforehand?
Absolutely.
Okay, it looks like a setup, but it's the truth. I mean, it really did change the way I think about my role.
And we've never discussed this.
But I appreciate. No. I didn't. That's a lot of money too. I know. Yeah,
that's a lot of money.
Right. Well, I think so, the funny part is you're. I see your point also. I'm kind of hung up on the money. You kind of see the value, so we're not finding a medium road.
Well, the mid range is if the fellow's offering services, and he does a free seminar. Certainly, a 1 hour thing with him isn't going to, you know, it's not going to
exactly
a 2 hour, a 4 hour, or whatever, some kind of a menu thing that he might tailor to get the number down. And again, if we find out we did attend, he came for 2 hour, 4 hour, whatever that is, we may decide that, you know, let's go ahead and finish it and do the whole thing.
Full money.
Yeah, whatever. I'm comfortable.
Well, we know we're not going towards, so I would agree with doing the research into it anyway at this point.
Okay. Virgil asked, he wanted to have 10 minutes of our time.
Are you done?
What's the subject?
I just wanted to show about water.
Oh, the water. Yeah, the water. Yes. We have some issues with copper. I mean, lead.
Okay. Can you do that now? Yeah.
It's your meeting, Mr. President.
This is what they call a saddle. It's a brass saddle, and this comes off and goes around this way. This would go on a pipe that's in the middle of the street, your main 8-inch, 10-inch main, whatever. This is a cork stop, that's in the street. Once it's all put together, it's buried. So if we have a leak that's going to a particular house, and we can shut it off here. But you have to dig up the street
to get to this
in order to shut it off. Mm. These have lead in it. This is brass, but it has maybe 8 to 10% lead in it.
Mm-hmm.
A law that was passed 2010 by California, before 2010, Bill SB 1953 bans all lead in brass products.
Okay.
So now today we have to buy these without any lead in them.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that we do have, we have to scrap. So like this has lead in it.
We don't have to dig the ones out that are in the ground.
No, just when you put new services.
You have
only
to
for
the
people
lead.
That are consuming water.
Yeah.
And then secondarily, if you're using this to maybe run irrigation, then you can have the lead, but you can't use it for that. But I wanted to use it as a means to show you what you get from a water main. Mm-hmm. They're all the parts that come up to it.
Mm-hmm.
This is on old homes, probably like where Bill lives and Mark. This is what we call a meter setter, and this would have. This is where you shut the water off. You lift the water meter box cover off.
Oh, that looks
and
like mine.
You would shut this off here. The water just runs here. This a meter setter is meant to be. You put a meter here, and you just take this off, and you drop a meter in, and go from there. These corrode, and they leak on us a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually, as we find the leaks, so we're replacing it, and put a brand new system in. The newer homes obviously don't have this. They have this curb stop, which really just replaced this first part right here.
Mm-hmm.
And you put the meter on, or you don't have to put the meter on. When I do water leak repairs today, this is what we put on in the meter box. We put in a small piece of PVC pipe. So we put this on in case someday we were to put a water meter, you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
But this is now the materials in the past. This used to be the choice of a water meter to put in, all brass inside of plastic guts.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the laws, and I don't think I mentioned to the U.S. government passed a law of no lead.
Mm-hmm.
Goes into effect January 2014. But California and two other states, I believe, put this in a few years back. So these, now we have to scrap these. Then we have to put them in the find a scrap yard that takes them, break them down really. You have to take the plastic guts out of it and then send it to a scrap yard because we can't use it here. And so for whatever meter, just the Firefly, this connects to this, and this is what transmits your data back to Texas for us to get water consumption. So I just wanted to do
back
a few minutes
where?
Just showing you the makeup of that.
That's a region.
That's where our contractor is.
Our server is, and then it just transmits the data there.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay, any questions?
You were saying all those need to be scrapped out. Did you say that was a California requirement or a national requirement? Federal requirement?
Both now, but we're under California now. It's effective already for California.
So you can't sell those to another state?
They've got to be worth some money to scrap, though, aren't they? All that brass has got to be worth some money.
Well, it's probably worth some money, yeah. But it's not as that meter probably cost us, I'd say about $110, $120. You won't get that in scrap.
How many do we have?
You probably have about 50 or 60 of them right now.
How many?
We'll say probably about 5 maybe for landscaping, but we won't use more now.
How much are the new meters, the plastic ones?
The new meters are a little less than that. Yeah, they're less than this.
I have a related question, and being we're kind of an open forum here, I know that on occasion, just due to the fact that some of our pipe is old and it bursts, and you've got to come and dig the street up and do that, and we have I'm assuming a preferred vendor that will come in and do that. just because if you don't have competitive bids on occasion, numbers can creep. Do we have a secondary company that comes in and does that, and do we go out kind of check numbers every now and then? I see the same company. I'm not saying there's anything wrong at all, but just doing what I'm supposed to be doing, I have to ask these questions as far as the numbers go.
We do periodically try to bring in somebody, but the issue is not them not knowing how to deal with the water. When you're digging the ground, and your street particularly, these things right now are this cork stop.
While he's doing that,
plugged right into the pipe itself, and sometimes these just pop out, and then when that does, we have to now put this on and redo that. What happens is on water, you got to be darn sure that no dirt water builds up, comes back in here, gets back into the public system. Some of the contractors we have used periodically don't know that. And so then all of a sudden now we've contaminated the water system. We have to make sure that who's ever working on it does not contaminate.
Right. Well, and I can appreciate
that. And there are a few companies that do that and some that don't.
Right.
Most of the folks on this side of the hill use the guy we use because of that.
Right. But I would have.
last year we brought in, we used them when this other company, when JW is not available, we use this other company. And, you know, you talk about low bid, you get low bid work for the same amount of money. They are, JW is preferred for a reason. And I actually discussed with Jim Williams yesterday about exactly what you're talking about. We actually had this conversation yesterday afternoon. So, I do plan on bringing that contract with some other, a team of vendors, if you will, that can come in. We can call, pick up and call, depending on what the type of need that we might have, whether it's for something that JW is good at, or maybe it's something that they don't focus on, so we bring another company in, and we have a kind of a laundry list of vendors we can use for the right application.
Right, and I think it's to our advantage to have two or three of the JW qualified types of people just to keep
working on. They're just not in the area. That's one of the other issues, Bill, is that if we have called a couple other companies, but then they've got to go to a rental house to rent the backhoe or a dump truck and bring that out here. And for me, a water leak, the moment I see a water leak in the middle of the street, time is essence to fix that right away so it does not cause a sinkhole for us.
No, I understand the urgency and I understand all of that. I'm just amazed
if it's
that
in the middle of the night, it is tough to try to get.
I understand that totally. Yeah. What I'm just saying is that if we were to look into the future, I'm not saying change the horse right at the moment, but educate or go out for an RFP and educate some of these guys. Say, if you'd like to take an opportunity to give us a bid on some of it, here's the things you have to do. You have to be able to come at night. You have to do this. You have to do that. I don't know. I'm assuming we've gone through that
in the past.
I
won't say we've done RFP, but we have brought in companies that fit for what we call minor water leaks, I would term as a minor, to dig up the street and watch how they perform and do the work. We have done that, and we're constantly will be doing that.
Right, educate them on how to do it the right way.
We did one on Beaver last year, and we ended up bringing JW in to finish the finished job. They may have done an okay job underground, but they left a lot to be desired up above the ground. And so,
if I could expound on what Bill is saying, I think the other point he's making here is, do we at least look at JW's bills over a period of 12 months or 14 months to see if the bills are creeping up gradually, or if they're consistent, or how many times they come back into the same?
But not to go back, I think each bill, repair is different.
Of course it is. But, when he spends a certain amount of time and spends a certain amount of his resources, do we get the same style bill over and over again?
Yeah.
Do we have comeback work with him?
I haven't had any, but you could.
And then the other factor, then the other side of the coin is that our staff time
costs us money too. Yeah. Even though, you know, they're on salary and this and that, it still costs us money. You still attribute so much of their time towards the project. And if we're continually changing contractors, so our staff is having to be continually monitoring that, it's not cost effective, nor is it
not
a good use of time for our staff.
I'm not suggesting that at all. All I'm suggesting is that if you had it, let's just call it three JWs, and you kind of, and they're all can give us the same quality of service and approximate price, and you rotate them through. It just keeps everybody honest.
We started that a while back, and then a couple of companies went bankrupt and left.
I remember that. Well, I mean, it is what it is. You got to deal with it.
What was the name of the company? The other one out of on the other side of the hill.
We had
something engineer.
Geez, Mark's good friend.
He's Jet Minyard.
Jet Minyard. Minyard Construction was one.
He's gone.
And then there was another boy that lived here in Discovery Bay on Starboard, and they moved to Arizona, his business, and I just can't think of the name. Triple C.
I do remember that JW was the cheapest, or he was close to the cheapest before, and I know his work is good.
Yeah.
Let's move on. Okay. We're getting close to hiring. Anything else?
Let's make sure.
What is like the, how often do we go and review vendor contracts? And was there a policy we have on that?
When they expire.
Yeah.
When the contracts expire.
But do we have a schedule then? Do you have a schedule you provide on vendor contracts?
We have so many contracts. I don't.
Landscape.
When they come up, they come up.
I mean, usually
well, the landscape one. There's two
expire.
Landscape.
Yeah.
There's one next year. There's one this year.
Yeah.
Okay. We just extended one with a 1-year option.
That's the other side of town. The original deal, I believe, was for 2-year contract with 2 1-year options.
Mm-hmm.
So that will come up each year with
Odyssey.
Mm-hmm. And then we're out going to bid here pretty soon for this side of town, which is Valley Crest.
Do we do the same thing with computer and the tech stuff and
we are,
legal and
we are,
all those types of things? Is our legal firm under a, I'm assuming they're under a contract, sure, but
they are under contract.
But is it,
I don't believe the contract has been hasn't been put back out. I don't believe in the town's history.
No.
They have done a great job for the town, actually. New Miller and Gerzig.
You're not going to find it.
He does more stuff for us for nothing.
You're not going to find it a lower bid. I'm telling you.
I have no idea. I just, I'm here. I got to ask the question.
No.
On the IT issue, we will be sending out an RFP for IT services.
Exactly.
Familiarity.
You can't pay for that.
Yeah.
Experience.
We will be sending out an RFP in the near future for IT services. Now that this upgrade has been completed and we're ready to move on.
All right. What else?
I guess that's it.
Let me get that for you.
We're adjourned.
Thank you for coming.
Hand that to you.
Let me help you out here. Thank you for coming.